Welcome to the New and Living Way Church, Ikorodu, where we bring to you teachings inspired by the Spirit of the Living God for the work of salvation through His ministers. Be blessed as you listen.
Okay, good morning. Good morning, everybody. Why are we cold this morning? Is the AC? Okay. Don't worry. The heat we emit from, you know, the world, when the world is heating us, we'll be heated up. Amen?
Amen.
They were asking us what we are reviewing today. Everybody was saying different things. Hope we listen to the messages. Because if you listen to the message, you will know what we're actually doing today. So if you did not listen to the message, well, this is an opportunity for you to even remind yourself again. But I'll admonish that even if you didn't listen, you can go back again to listen. These words are actually powerful and they help us to, you know, especially today's, what we'll be reviewing today, they will help us in our, you know, walk, daily life. It's basically, to teach us how to live the things that we have heard and to express them in our life. So I pray God will help us to listen to messages again in Jesus' name. Some people are not saying amen. I know some people, I know we need grace. The Lord will help us to listen to messages again in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so we're starting with Pastor Precious Gabriel. You know, Pastor Precious, you know, she brought a kind of dimension to the meeting. You know, the way she came, her ministration went in, I will not say a different way, but it just went in a way that was able to capture everybody's heart. It touched different aspects of how we live, our day-to-day expressions, basically. You know, so it was a very, very insightful message. And I remember when Pastor Precious started, you know, she started with, you know, gathering, you know, talking about how that we need to be gathered, beseeching, you know, and she said that meetings like this, the season of the Spirit, as well as every other meeting, is basically our pastors are beseeching us to be gathered together, you know. So there were just so many things that, you know, she tried to call our hearts together, you know, and there was a statement that she made, and I want us to expatiate more on that statement. You know, she talked about how that, you know, currently in the current times, that Satan is doing a lot on the earth. It's very obvious. I mean, if you look around you, you see different shenanigans of display of, you know, Satan's handwork. And, you know, Satan is doing a lot. And she said that the reason why these things are happening is because he wants to cause many hearts to fail. You know, and then she also talked about, you know, how that children of the day, we should not be caught unawares, you know, of these things. So we should not be, you know, oblivious of, you know, this tool of Satan. So, Pastor Mike, please, can you help us? Can you teach us on, yes. So we need to be enlightened on how, as children, because she said, we are not children of night, we are children of the day. And we should not be caught unawares. We should not be unaware. We should not be oblivious of, you know, these things that Satan is doing. So how we are children of the day? First of all, how are we children of the day? Then, how are we as children of the day supposed to be exposed or supposed to be conscious of the things that are going on the face of the earth, and how we should not be caught unawares of, you know, what the Lord is doing even amidst all of the shenanigans that Satan is trying to play.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Pastor Laido Lanio. Thank you for this privilege. I do not take for granted, sir. Good morning, Pastor Rose. Good morning, Pastor Rose. It's good to see you this morning, man. Good morning, Pastor Moses. Good morning, it's good to see you. Good morning, Pastor Shegun. Good morning, Momiola. Good morning, Pastor Ni. Good morning, sir. I greet you so much, sir. God bless you for me, sir. Good morning, Pastor Happy. I greet you. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Brother Larry. Good morning, church. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay, so from time, there is, I think, just answer it this way. I know Mombimbo would do better in that area. So, okay, so there is from time, there is just one thing the Lord is doing. There is one thing God is doing. And so, irrespective of time, seasons, situations, or circumstances, there's just one thing the Lord is doing. And God has not, you know, moved away from his agenda, you know, which is to save man. So regardless of whatever is happening, even in the season of abundance, the season of lack, God is not, God's plan for man is not a subject of time, season, or whatever is happening. No, there's one thing God wants to do, and is to save man. So we have to have our heart, we have to have our heart fixated on that agenda of God, which is to save, you know, regardless of the time, regardless of the season. You know, we are not expected to be more fervent in the time of lack than in the time of abundance. No, the fervency should remain and should be, you know, even grow higher, regardless of the time. So time will come, seasons will come, but the agenda of God remains constant. He said, the standard of the Lord standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. So let everyone that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. So either is in the time of tumult, because the truth is that seasons in the natural, times in the natural will change. Our nation will not always be like this. And then, so our gospel is not determined by the state of our nation. So that when Nigeria now change, we now have a good leader and everything is now fine, we will still not drop the subject of salvation. We will still be pursuing salvation. So the agenda of God is one. What he's doing is one. Also, the agenda of Satan is one, regardless of the situation, either lack or abundance. Satan is doing one thing, wants to derail men from the way of salvation. So we are not first of all moved by things that are happening around. Once our feet is standing firm on what God is doing, seasons will come, times will come. He said, the kingdom of God is like a man that built his house upon the rock and the other one built it upon the sand. Do you understand? Then for both houses, there was wind, there was flood, and the rest. So what determines how focused we are in any season and times that comes around is how sure the foundation of our standing is, which is that we know what the Lord is doing and which is saving men. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Mommy Bimbo, I don't know if you have anything to add.
Praise God. All right. Good morning. I don't know. Am I being heard?
Amen.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Pastor Moses. It's good to see you, Daddy. Good morning, Pastor Rose. Can we appreciate Pastor Rose, everybody? I said I was going to do this when I sit down here, actually, because I really want to thank God for married women in the house. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can we appreciate Pastor Rose? I really want to thank God for her, for everything she is to us, quite frankly, and instructions and corrections, guidances. Amen. I want to thank God for Pastor Rose. We love you. We love you very much. I love you personally. Praise God. Can we appreciate Pastor Biodun, even if she's not around? Can we appreciate Pastor Shegun, Pastor Ola? Can we appreciate our mommies? Good morning, Maz. Am I the under? Praise God. All right. So how can... Sorry. No, not my husband first. Can we appreciate Egbomi, our Sunday school teacher? Praise God. That's my Egbon, my first Egbon. Then can we appreciate the other Egbons? Pastor Nee, Pastor Happy, Pastor Ray, Pastor Mike. Pastor Mike too is our Egbon. Praise God. I want to appreciate my husband. Can we appreciate my husband too? Okay. So, I think the question is, how can we be aware of the day of the Lord? And how are we, when the Bible says that we should not be oblivious or the day should not catch us unawares. It's just what Pastor Mike just explained, having an understanding of what God is doing, not being in the dark about what God is doing, such that no matter what comes, whether good or bad, plenty or lack, what God is doing is always set before you. So that when it seems like the going is good, you are still aware that God is still saving in that time. When it seems like about everything, God is still wanting to save at that time. That's what it means to be children of the day. So you are living with an understanding higher than whatever it is happening around you. Because no matter what is happening around, we have this song. There's something bigger going on. There's something greater than this. So that something bigger is the day of the Lord that is coming. And the Bible says it to come as a thief in the night. But you should not be unawares. So even though God is coming in the night like a thief, his children, he does not expect that they will be caught unawares, because they know this is what my daddy is doing. This is what my daddy is doing. This is what my daddy is doing. So no matter what it seems, you know what God is doing. That's what it means to live as children of the day. So you are living with an understanding higher than what you can see. The Bible says that whatever we see is temporal, but that which is not seen is eternal. So you are always looking for that which is not seen. So in every situation, I think how we can live as children of the day is to live reflective, live with your heart thinking, your mind thinking, okay, yes, I can see all of these things around me. I can see either plenty money. I can see less, a little bit of no money. But what is God actually doing? What is God doing? Does God want to use this abundance to save me? How does he want to save me with this abundance? If it is lack, how does God want to save me with this lack? Praise God. So to live with an understanding more than what you can see, such that you are living instructed from what God is doing. That's what it means to live as children of the day.
Thank you. Thank you very much, ma'am. So I remember when Pastor Precious was teaching, she said, you know, we are children of the day. We're waiting for the day of the Lord. Then she paused and she said, I hope everybody knows what the day of the Lord is. I hope everybody knows that we are in the day of the Lord. So, and as my mind, I'm like, I don't know what the day of the Lord is. So, Pastor Mike, please help me. Tell me what the day of the Lord is. And for many people that might be wondering what the day of the Lord is, because she said that the day of the Lord is not rapture. So, what is now the day of the Lord?
Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. So, thank you very much, Ma. Okay. So, it's review now. So, as I saying what we understand, right? So, let us say the day of the Lord. So, okay. Thank you, sir. The day of the Lord. Now, let's first of all, just take a cue back into the, you know, that's, Genesis, when God was creating the earth. So, he said, and the morning and the night, then the evening and the morning. And then the Bible says that God made there to be two great lights, the greater one to rule the day and the lesser one to rule the night. So, day is characterized with awareness. When they say, the breaking of the day, it's an awareness. Now we now know that, okay, this is no, so greater light, that is the sun. When the sun is up, it can rule us. And the way the sun rules us is that we know what to do. Everybody can step out to do things. Do you understand? And when the lesser light is coming, which is the moon, everybody knows it's time to go back and rest. You know, I believe anybody that is going contrary to that, the kind of job they are doing. Do you understand? Okay. So Peter now said that, we have a more sure word of prophecy. You know, it's like a light shining in darkness to the day dawn, you know, and the day star arises out of our soul. So the day of the Lord is the day of the time of the unveiling of the Lord. When everybody, you know, when everybody is supposed to, I don't want to say when everybody is seeing the Lord, when everybody is supposed to, the same way the sun can rise and not everybody is rising up from their bed, you know, to walk. Do you understand? So also is the day of the Lord is the time of the unveiling of the Lord. When God, or the things of the Lord is being revealed, which man is supposed to go after. It's supposed to be the emphasis upon the earth as at that time. So when they say we are in the day of the Lord, we are in the day when the knowledge of the Lord is upon us as a company. Do you understand? It's this time when the knowledge of the Lord is upon us as people. It is supposed to be seen by everybody. Everybody is supposed to be seeing the Lord. Everybody is supposed to be knowing the Lord. You know, it is the time when the knowledge of the Lord is found around us, especially as a company. Now, for us, we can say it's the day of the Lord. For other company, they might not be able to say it that way. Do you understand? So when they say it's the day of the Lord, it is the day of the unveiling of the things that the Lord is doing. It's the day of the unveiling of the person of the Lord. That's, for me, the day of the Lord.
Thank you, sir. So, I hope everyone is clear. Now, if you had questions in your heart, what the day of the Lord is, it's just an awareness. You know, it's just, and it's where do, it's a day when, it's a period when the knowledge of the Lord, like you said, is supposed to be upon the earth. So it's not rapture. It's not in a rapture. Just as appearance is not rapture. You know, they are two different things. But if you are still not clear, you can write your questions down in a paper and pass to them. They are here to answer your question. They are here to serve you. Amen. Please write your questions down so that, you know, that question itself can bless somebody, you know. So don't be shy with your questions. Write them down. Amen. You know, so moving on, Pastor Precious talked about covenant and sacrifice, right? So she didn't really dwell there, but she told us things around it. Talked about how that covenant is a is when two people are coming into oneness, and what causes people to come into covenant is sacrifice. You have to do sacrifice to come into covenant, right? So, and she also explained sacrifice as a knitting process where two people, where you are weaved to become to be able to come into oneness with God. But you can listen to the message to hear all of that. She explained it. But then she now said something that during the period of sacrifice, she said sacrifice is slaughter. That's a huge word. Slaughter, like that's death, right? So it's a huge thing. It's not something to play with. You know, there are so many things we used to think sacrifice used to be, you know, but then we know that sacrifice is more than just mere, you know, so it's there are things way deeper and weightier than how we think sacrifices are. And she admonished us that, you know, one of the ways to, that we are supposed to respond when we are in the season of sacrifice or in the process of sacrifice, because in sacrifice, a lot of things are going to be demanded from you. You'll be demanded of everything that entails you or what you are made up of, your life, basically. So she said that the response that we are supposed to give is obedience from the heart. So I'm now wondering, Sister Bimbo, how do I know when I am not obeying from the heart? Because, you know, she gave different illustrations, right, that you can be obeying and not be obeying from your heart. But I want to be sure that I'm not just, you know, there's a way you can just be doing something and you don't know that you're wasting your time. So I want to be sure that I'm getting the blessings from these things that I tag as sacrifice. I'm not just doing them for doing sake. So how will I know when I'm doing something, when I'm obeying from the heart, when I'm giving myself from the heart, or when, how do I differentiate it from when I'm just doing it? Then how do I know if I have drifted, if I was doing something for my heart before, and, you know, it, all of a sudden, maybe the Lord is already telling me that you should watch it. How do I know when I've drifted so that I can drift back? I don't know if you understand my question. How do I know when I've drifted from obeying from the heart to just obeying, or just obeying because Pastor Precious said, doing it because they say you should do it? How do I know when I'm doing it like that?
Praise God. Okay, how do we know that we are obeying from the heart, first of Abby? This is well. Praise God. I think our teacher was talking this morning and he was saying that commandments is something you will not usually do. That's why it's called a commandment. So if we are given something to obey, it's because it's not your nature. It's not doesn't come natural to you. So obeying from the heart actually is, okay, maybe I should start from when you are first given a commandment. I mean, for most of us, sometimes we just do it. They say I should. And I feel like it's not a bad place to start. Actually, that's where we all start. They say I should do this. Fine, let me do it. But you cannot stay in that place because your obedience will not be complete. The essence of doing obedience is to get to a place of completion. Praise God. And you know, Pastor Precious was saying that your obedience is knitting you to the Lord. You obey this, you are being knitted to the Lord. So when you first start your obedience in the place of, oh, they say we should do this, so let me just do it. You are not yet knit to the Lord. Being knit to the Lord is in a place of understanding. Praise God. So you must begin to obey. You must obey till you get to a place of understanding, such that you now understand the reason why they are saying don't do this thing. In the beginning, it might not be apparent to you. You might just do it because, I mean, this is our life. This is what we do. But for us to be knit with the Lord is a place of understanding. Being knit with God is a place of understanding. You are seeing a situation and you are seeing it the way God is seeing it. Praise God. If God says, for example, servants, obey your masters in the flesh, there's somewhere that God is seeing from. There's an understanding that God has that even if your master is forward, still be subject to your master. There's something God is saying. So you can just do it first because of, I don't want trouble. Praise God. That's the first. I don't want trouble in this office. Money King. They say I should sit down here. Let me just sit down. This is where my daily bread is gotten from. But you must pass that place to a place of where you begin to see that all authority is constituted by God and you must be subject. Every authority constituted is of God and God says be subject. Because God is also somebody that subjects himself to authority. I think it was this morning our teacher too was talking, was saying they asked Jesus to pay tax. And Jesus was like, normal, I know supposed to pay, but because I am here, I'm still going to be subject to the authority of Caesar. Caesar says we should pay tax. God has judgments. Praise God. So when you obey from the heart, is a place where your mind begins to see the judgment of God in a situation. And you have an understanding that God has. Maybe not the full, of course, but you can see that if God says that, don't talk back when somebody is talking to you. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. Praise God. So, I mean, if somebody talks back to you, talks roughly to you, you want to respond, he gives you two, you give him four. You know that there's nobody that is sleeping here. But God has an understanding that anywhere there is wrath, that's where the devil dwells. God does not want the devil inside our house. So God will say, give your answer in a soft manner. Speak softly so that the rot in that situation can be cancelled. That place, you obey from the heart because you have an understanding. So when you are beginning to drift from obeying from the heart, is you have lost the light of why they said you should do that obedience. You can no longer see why. So you are beginning to question. You see that you are already murmuring. You're already questioning why? Is it only me? Or every time it's me, they say, should we keep quiet? Why? That place, you're no longer obeying from the heart because you can no longer see. So everything is about our sight. What are you seeing? What are you seeing when they say do this? What are you seeing? And sight is understanding. What do you understand? So the minute you begin to slip into asking questions, you can no longer see. You no longer understand. That's then you cease to obey from the heart. Praise God.
Thank you very much. That was very enlightening. Thank you, Ma. Okay, so another thing that Pastor Pesha said that really caught my attention was when she was talking about corporate life and having a personal relationship with God. You know, she said many things around it, even talked about how we should raise our children, you know, to be able to have a personal fellowship with the Lord, you know. She said, corporate life is good. Coming together, I want to have team prayer. I have a group chat. that we're always praying together, you know, prayer bodies. We are prayer bodies and all of that, you know, but on your own, you know, there's no one-on-one with the Lord. So there's no instruction that God will give you that you can't even hear, because it's only when you are gathered corporately or with people that you can, you know, fellowship with the Lord. So in quotes, you know, so I want to ask now, in the place of personal fellowship with God, I know it's beyond, you know, having a time for devotion, but how do we, you know, what's the place of quiet time? You know, the term quiet time, like time that is quiet, is a thing that you hear people say, yeah, when is your quiet time? What time do you have your quiet time? You know, where's your prayer room? You know, there's a thing that's trending now where you have a prayer closet, then you write Bible verses and paste all over the wall. There's lights, there's Bible, there's bed, pillow. It's just a comfortable room for you and the Lord, right? So how do we now balance that quiet time, especially now that people are very busy? Some people don't even have time to pray. Is it wrong for me not to have time? What's your prayer time? I don't know. I pray anytime. Yeah. Another person, what's your prayer time? It's 4 to 6 a.m. That is me and the Lord. Even God knows. Angels are waiting for me in the room. You know? So how do we now balance having quiet time, especially in this world that is already getting busy? Pastor Mike.
Thank you, Mama. As we all know, Lagos is not even quiet. So, quiet time. As far as me, I did not even have quiet time. You know? My quiet time is when I see to wake up. So, Ezid has taken my quiet. So, for me personally, actually, I grew up in a Christian family. I grew up in a very serious Christian family that we do morning devotion. But they didn't train me with quiet time because, and I have to be sincere. But then, there is something called, you know, God consciousness. And I think that is the most important thing about man, you know. There is this thing about I used to tell the teenagers that many a times, you know, there's a way we used to deceive ourselves and be like, okay, my Bible study time is between 6, you know, and 8 o'clock in the morning. So anytime anything's happened between that 6 to 8, you feel the day is gone. I missed today. And it's only 9:30 in the morning. You feel like, I missed today's quiet time. Tomorrow I will continue. What happened between 9 to 12 midnight? Yeah, so somewhere, you know, we can box God into a time. And then, you know, we just tell God that, okay, this is the time I have for you. And just as around this time, you should come around. Then we'll talk. Then once we are done, you can go. Then the rest of the day. No. You know, God is not just omnipresent because he wants to be omnipresent. God is not omniscience because he wants to be omniscience. God, those are attributes of God that make us realize that he is accessible. You know, that God is accessible. So God is not boxed into time. God is not boxed into a schedule. In fact, the way it should be is that 24 hours of the day, our mind should be on the things of God. Do you understand? 24 hours of the day. Because another way we can deceive ourselves is that, you know, tick our boxes, and you know, just checklist that, okay, today is done. And then most times, the rest of the day, we behave worse. You understand? That 2 hours quiet time cannot remit the bad behavior that will do the rest of it. But somewhere, our conscience is justified that, I've done today's ablution. Then we'll not be different from unbelievers that have 5 times to pray. Do you understand? Just go, you know, no matter what they do, they just go pray. Then they feel that, you know, that thing that they've done has canceled out whatever. No. How God wants us to be is that every time of the day, every time. That's why they said, you know, at every remembrance of prayer, pray. Do you understand? After every remembrance of prayer, pray. You are in the bus coming home. You want to check your scripture. Check it. Go to the Bible. Read it. You know, just read it and wait upon the Lord to, you know, to expand that scripture to you. So for me personally, Of course, there are times when you be like, okay, I'm free. And instead of, you know, surfing through the media or just, you know, thinking about how they've turned dollar to 1,000 or something now, and then you're just there and you're just angry with everybody. You know, it's better you can carry your Bible, but we should also know that God is not boxed into that time frame. You understand? He's not God of the morning or God of the evening or God of the night. He's the God. You understand? So God is not boxed into a time. We should have our heart on the things of God every time. The essence of us plugging our ear, listening to messages, you know, is so that our heart can be conscious. Understand? We can serve God with all consciousness, having in mind that, okay, there is a God and there is that which God is doing, and then our mind is meditating on those things, so that we will not fall into that category of people that, you know, maybe we miss our quiet time, then we have missed the old day, then we are waiting for the next day. No. At the end of the day, we can have backlog of years. Do you understand? That we have not been meeting with. And God is always there. The essence of the Holy Ghost, why we carry him about, the reason why they gave us the third person of the Godhead, a God inside of us, is so that every point in time, you can reach out. Do we understand? Thank you.
Thank you very much, sir. So,
amen. I want to put a kind of balance so that some of us don't run one way. The truth is this. Whilst God is with us everywhere, we will not be able to give God adequate devotion if you don't start with a proper quiet time. I tell young believers that start out with... The core of quiet time is discipline. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The core of quiet time is what? Discipline. How to shut down things, legitimate things, and devote your spirit to the Lord. So it is more, it's not about the religion, it is the training, such that when you now get more mature and you have liberty, you will know, you'll be sensitive enough when the Lord said he needs your attention. You can withdraw that time and pay attention to the things of the Spirit. Are we understanding? Now, God starts with every one of us by little discipline that, okay, give me 30 minutes of your day. Give me 1 hour of your day. And sometimes you have to clear your schedule to ensure that that 1 hour, nothing comes to interrupt it. Now, the goal of it is not to turn to be religious. It's a training for your heart to know, to learn how to attend to God without distraction. Without distraction. Now, whether you are now at work, you can still attend to God. You can still focus on the things of God without distraction. That your mind is minding the things of God. You are not doing devotion, but you have been trained how your mind should focus on the things of God without distraction. You are in the bus, everybody is shouting. You are still attending to God without distraction. So God can call you. You can be in conversation with a person and God calls you. It's time to pray. And you just suddenly go quiet. Everybody's talking, but you have learned how to focus on that. So that anytime God requires your attention, you have been trained to be sensitive. If we don't know it, we will lose fellowship. But how they begin to train us is that sense of devotion. So if we totally ignore that thing, some of us will never grow in discipline because they need to train us. So if it's the 30 minutes that you are still doing, do it faithfully, but know that it's a training. God will extend it to 1 hour sometimes. But also know that it is not a religious exercise. It is a training. If you didn't meet at 6 o'clock, I remember reading earlier when I was younger, Good Morning Holy Spirit by Benny Hinn. When you say that he entered the room, Holy Ghost is waiting for him. I'm like, No, those are things that introduce us to fellowship, communion. That, wow, Holy Ghost can be this real to a person. And those things are not a lie. They are training. But a time came when you don't feel those goosebumps again. And I'm like, where the fellowship? God said, you must now grow to learn that that presence is everywhere. And I want you to carry that presence everywhere. But yes, a training about it. That's what I want us to learn. That the essence of devotion is a training. It's a training that will carry us throughout life. And we understand it. When we have mastered it, sometimes the Lord will still require it as a consecration. Are you understanding? Sometimes God can still require it as a consecration. At other times, he may not demand it. But what I am mocking is that I am keeping fellowship. And when God requires it as a consecration, don't feel too big that no, I've passed that. My everyday is for Jesus. You will miss out of the allocations of God. Are we understanding what I'm saying? So that we don't swing to either extreme and then lose God in between. God bless you.
Thank you, sir. I had a question, and part of it Pastor had already clarified, but the other part of it was, I'm directing this question to Stabimbo. Pastor Precious talked about how that, you can't give her excuses. Like, you can't, if whatever excuse you have, the Lord had already trained her in such a way that she can, even in the midst of any circumstance, be able to still have time for the Lord, and it made me wonder, I'm asking because I wanted a woman's perspective, especially women, sisters. We have this mindset somewhere that revelation belongs to brothers. So, and she said that one of the things that she said was that we cannot do commandments, we cannot do obedience if we have not hearkened, if we have not heard, if we have not been diligent in the place of hearing, so we have to be diligent in hearing. So when we are diligent in hearing, it means that we are hearing and understanding, and now we're in a period where there are a lot of things that are being said from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting. Reverend is preaching here and there, and there are lots of messages that we need to not just hear, but understand. So I don't know if you can give us like steps that has worked for you personally on how that you are able to stay put with doctrine, be diligent, that place of diligence in doctrine. What are the steps that you took? Maybe you didn't understand a message. How did you do it? How did you come about even being, in that place of understanding, hearing and understanding? Are there things that you did that helped you to even overcome a place of maybe dullness or indiscipline in the place of hearing and doctrine?
Amen. First, I think that you said from a woman's perspective now. I think that first of all, maybe we said it, plenty of people have said it too many times in our years that sisters, they don't like understanding. So somewhere it's now ingrained in people's mind that as a sister, it will be hard for you to understand. We've heard it a lot. So somewhere it's like something is cast over our minds. That's the first thing on your heart is, I can't understand first. I will still understand though, but I will still have to, it's just ingrained somewhere there. And I think it's wrong. It's not helpful. Praise God. It's not helpful to first sit in front of Reverend and the first thing on your mind is, I can't get what daddy is saying. You will not get none because you're already thinking. And as a man thinks in his heart, so easy. Praise God. Now, the truth is there are some messages that are hard to understand. We cannot remove that place. But first off, you must go with a heart that this is my world. This is my life. Praise God. Our daddies have said it a lot of times. You enter school and your lecturer is saying something, but there's nothing in your mind telling you that, I will not understand what. You first picture your mother's face and the look when she was giving you that 20K. You will just arrange first. I will not understand what. You will just sit down that me and this lecturer is me and you. I will get what you are saying. I think first off, you must realize that this is my life. This is my life. Reverend is talking bread, is talking wine. You must know that this is my life. I hear me. My Egbon will say, or I hear me 11, share, 11, see. Is your life, even as a sister. Because there are a lot of obediences you will not be able to do if you don't get what Reverend was saying yesterday night. I and my husband were talking yesterday and he was correcting me on some things. The first thing that came to me was this, like trying to preserve myself, that I know why am I? I know why I'm doing this. I'm trying to. But somewhere, because I have heard and light and understanding has come, I'm able to shift my ground. Praise God. What I'm trying to say is, as a woman, first off, you must know that you can, what Reverend is saying is your life. Just settle it first. That I cannot get eternal life if I did not understand what that is saying. I'm not going anywhere. I cannot move from Christ to everlasting life to eternal life. I will not go anywhere. I cannot obey my husband well if I don't understand what daddy is saying. I cannot train my children well if I do not understand what daddy is saying. Pastor Precious was talking about the children that we are giving birth to. We are giving birth to at the end of the world. So imagine that daddy is talking about things of the end and the world to come. And you want to train a child in this world and you don't understand what daddy is saying. How? How? You will give that child the same thing that you were giving and the child will end up being the way you are. Such that when the end of the world comes upon that child, he cannot do nothing. The child will be sucked in. Praise God. So you must settle it that this is my life. I die here. Have that attitude. We die here. Praise God. Now, moving to practical steps. There is Reverend and there is all of our pastors and all of our teachers. Praise God. Pastor Tosin's wife was talking about a woman that said that this is what she would do. She would go and listen to Pastor Tosin first. Then she did not say she would just listen to Pastor Tosin and say she has understood. No, she would listen to Pastor Tosin first. Then she will now go back to daddy's messages. Then she will understand. It's a wisdom. And the truth is there's time. That issue of Kosita and Irani. Praise God. It's a lie. I mean, as sisters, maybe we wake up, we have to make breakfast, go to work. By the time you come back, there's dinner to be made and stuff and stuff. Praise God. But you watch film in that week. Sometimes two, sometimes three. Your Netflix series, Kokindiko, you shall watch like two seasons in that episode. TikTok, you can spend like 20 minutes there. Your 10 minutes inside TikTok. The truth is there's always time. It depends on what you want to use your time for. As this small time I've been married, I've learned that there's time. I've learned that there's time. Praise God. I've had sisters come live with us. I've learned that there's time. Except if, only if you want to deceive yourself. But the truth is there's time. Now, what do you want to give your heart to? I think for me, what helped me first is, when I was in school, there was a scripture that I feel like the Lord brought to my heart in preparation for these times. And Jesus was talking to his disciples in Matthew, and he was telling them that, blessed are your ears for they hear, blessed are your eyes for they see, blessed is your heart because it understands. For unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So settle it in your mind first. To me, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. So know it. The way we are contending for healing and the Bible says, know you have your healing. No, it's the same way you will know. I can never be poor. I can never be poor. You know, it's the same way you know that to me, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. So there is nothing that daddy is saying that I cannot understand. I just need to sit with it. Funny thing is, I think I was chastising myself yesterday because I'm going to do review. I sat down with the message and I was jotting because I knew that I was going to do review. Praise God. And I started telling myself that, Bimbola Kare. But Reverend will now preach. You now be saying, But if I had given that same diligence that I gave yesterday because I wanted to do review, I would have gotten what Daddy wanted to say. Praise God. I was at work on Tuesday because I wanted to do review. I targeted one free time I had in my space and I plugged my ear and I was jotting and I was making notes because I wanted to do review. And daddy would teach. I will now say, I did not understand. It's a lie. I mean, somebody that is lying to me, I mean, so I'm now lying to myself. Praise God. As sisters, we must know that this is my life because the responsibility for another generation is going to be committed to you. Sooner or later, you will hold a household. You are the woman in a household. You will hold your household. If you do not understand that bread is to make a building of God that God is coming to inhabit. There's nothing you want to give your children than what was given to you. And your child will just end up being the same you that cannot prosper in eternal life. Praise God. Now, there are many of our pastors. There's something we do in my house. We'll just play Pastor Tokpe, me and my husband, for a while. We are just doing Pastor Tokpe's message back to back. Only Pastor Tokpe. Then we now sit with Reverend. There's no how we will not get because we have given attention. Now, the truth is hearing begets hearing. Yeah. To him that has more will be given. Yeah. If you do not have at all, even what you think you have, they say it will be taken from you. So there's wisdom. There's a lot of wisdom around this thing. There was a week that I wanted to greet Mrs. Otunaike. Can we help me appreciate Mama Ronke? Praise. Now, I'm not just whining. Praise God. There are people that have learnt wisdom and it pays to company with the wise. There was a day that she was just, we're just talking. We saw Pastor Dupe's picture somewhere. I was like, Pastor Dupe is fine. And I just saw her listening to Pastor Dupe's message. Pastor Dupe is Love C, right? You now say it's Love C, it's not an LWC. I pity you. Because there's a lot of wisdom Pastor Dupe will give. Pastor Dupe teaches Sunday school in Love C. So I think that week, while I was telling her that, I just listened to Pastor Dupe's message. I just went to YouTube, Love C, and I was just listening to Pastor Dupe back to back. Come back and listen to Daddy's message. It's a lie. You will understand what Daddy is saying. Because we have our pastors. Pastor Tosin was saying that Daddy is a resource center. All of our pastors go there to feed from. So listen to our pastors. Feed from them. Now, there's something a lot of us do. I do it too. You just plug your ear and you are doing every other thing. Everything you are doing. But you plug your ear. Do not ask, have you listened to the message? Yes now. Well, you didn't really listen. Praise God. So, you know, the Lord will help us. You must see it as this is my life. Start from there. Ayemiri. Olo magic ayemi baje. It's true. Your life can spoil. And you will use your hand. You will use it to spoil your life by yourself because you think you cannot understand. Your life will spoil. Praise God. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much, Pastor Bim. I'm sorry. Thank you so much, Pastor Bimbo. Please, I just want to remind us to send our questions to the ushers. Ushers, please, can you help us go around and get questions? Wow. Thank you so much. Should we even... I feel like Pastor Bimbo has captured everything. I don't think you spoke to sisters alone. I think you spoke to everybody. Okay. So, we are moving to Pastor Tosin's message, still day four. And in line with understanding, understanding helps you to, it's our life. If we don't understand, our life is done for, literally. Or, like, if you do not take time, if you do not desire to understand. And I think that is tied to this next question. You know, when Pastor Tosin was talking, when he started, he talked about knowing our lot and taking our lot, like taking our place. And he was saying something about how if we don't take our place, someone else will. And, you know, there's a way that thing can sound scary. Like, okay, what's he talking about? Knowing our lot, knowing our place. Is it by, okay, I have to take a place in church? Like, I don't even understand. Like, you know, there can be a lot of questions and it can sound very scary. So I want to ask Bro Mike, when you heard that, what Pastor said, what came to you? Was it fear or was it motivation? Because he said, before he said that, it was like, we should follow the Spirit. We should follow God. Like, so that would help, like, help us to know our Lord, always following the Spirit. So when you heard that, know your Lord, if you don't, or take your Lord, someone else will come and take it. So is it like someone else will come and be teenager's teacher, or is it a motivation? Did you get motivated to follow the Spirit? What actually came to you?
Okay, thank you, ma. So the issue of Lot, let me say, it's a common lingua in our midst, and then, there's a way we can put many things around it. But first of all, it's good for us to know that the ultimate lot of every man created upon the earth is to have eternal life. The Bible says that in hope of eternal life, each God that cannot lie has promised before the world began. So for every man, there is that which the Lord promised. That, okay, this is for you. And it's to have God's kind of life, which is eternal life. Now, that is the Lord. Doesn't, if there's anything we should be afraid to lose, that one should be ultimate, And so, but in getting to that place, there's God placed people and, Ephesians 4 was saying, that God give gift to men. God put people in places. God put people in some places, in some locations. But, how effective would we keep that place, even in the sight of God, is how much our heart wants to get that ultimate lot, which is eternal life. So, whatever I find myself doing, be it, we've seen our pastor who started out as choir. Now, they are now pastors. Now, Pastor TJ is a very good example. He said he was once a guitarist, I think. Now, keyboardist. Now, he's a pastor. Now, leaving that place can look like he's losing a lot. Do you understand? Of course, he said he felt bad when they asked him to move from there to Sunday school. So, it's not as if, maybe leaving that place to now go and join the pastor is now, he has lost his lot in the choir. Somebody else has taken over. No. There is an ultimate lot for every child of God, which should be what our act is. How well we would do that which God gives to us to do is how much of regard that we have for the ultimate lot, which is eternal life. So I will not guard diligently, being an usher. I will not, because of course we can also slip into guiding and protecting my lot as an usher at the expense of eternal life. Scripture says that let nothing be done with strife. It's not saying that nothing can be achieved with strife. Things can be achieved with strife. It's just telling us that don't do it with strife. So I can, because I want to keep a position, I can do many things, even with strife, just to keep my lot, as it were, then thereby losing the ultimate lot, which is eternal life. Do you understand? So the ultimate lot that God has for every one of us is to inherit his life. So anything the Lord now brings our way, be it office, be it position, be it home, because also as a husband is a lot, as a wife is a lot, as a child in the house is a lot. Do you understand? But we will do all of those things well when the ultimate lot, which is eternal life, is very, very much glaring to our heart. So, when I'm keeping my seat, or I'm keeping my lot, or I'm keeping my position in church, I'm not keeping it because I don't want somebody else to come. The truth is that it is almost inevitable that people will come, people will take positions, people is there. Do you understand? If Uncle Happy has been guarding the lot and does not want any other person to join, we will not be leading prayer today. Do you understand? So it's not the ultimate, but the more tangible the ultimate Lord, which is eternal life, is, it will show in how we serve. God's servant was teaching us yesterday, pastor was telling us yesterday, and was saying that, if we miss out on what God is doing, every other work that we do will be dead work. Do you understand? So my diligence in making sure that I'm one of the best in the technical unit, I'm one of the best in this one, is all to make, if I'm losing out on that ultimate law, which is eternal life, then it's all effort in futility. It will not, of course, I will get the appraisal of people, I might get the appraisal of my HOD, that I'm the most available graduate to call. Do you understand? But in the sight of God, who is the one who gives Lot actually? Do you understand? In the sight of God, who is the one who gives Lot? He knows that I'm just walking in iniquity. It is nothing. So, what our heart should be fixated on is our ultimate Lot, which is eternal life. So, everything my hands now find doing in pursuit of that thing, I will do it well. Now, there is no way I will be keeping that one that I will not handle this one well. There's no way my heart will be fixated on every eternal life. And God will say that, I'm not handling this one well because I'll be doing it in hope of that thing. Do we understand? So that's how I can answer that question.
Please, a round of applause for John Mike. Thank you so much. If you still have questions, just write them down, please. Okay. So the next question is, Pastor mentioned that, like, there are some people that they don't want this present world to pass away. From my cousin. Oh, so you're one of them. Okay. So the next question, I think, is the question is, when Pastor mentioned this, you can feel like, people that are unbelievers are people that don't want, but we can see that obviously even Bro Mike does not want the present world to pass away. I wanted to ask that, have you ever caught your, this is so disturbing, but though, I think disturbing boy should answer the question. So the question I was about to ask is, have you ever caught yourself thinking like such men? And how do you quickly snatch yourself from that kind of thoughts or that kind of state of mind? Because the truth is, we also can be men like that. Because there are still some things that our hearts are still fixed upon, like on earth here. It can be that job, that career path, like you're like, man, I must make this thing. Something that we've been dreaming of since we're 8 years old, Or it can be the fact that, I've not gotten married, but Mike. Or it can be like, it can be anything. I must buy that car. I must be on TV. Like, just a lot of things. Even things that if you should say it out, like, we'll be looking at the person like, are you sure? You still have this kind of ambition. But the truth is, we all somehow still have those kind of things in our hearts. And because of that, we still kind of long for this world. And sometimes we'll still be like, am I ready? If Jesus should come today now and say, okay, it's time, everybody, let's go. Like, am I even ready? Like, even Lot's wife, like, for example, when she was the part, it was looking like, Lot's wife, she was done with Sodom and Gomorrah. But, it was recorded that she looked back and somewhere it was probably still the long, I'm leaving all these things like this and I'm going to just go and God is just going to destroy it like that. Hey, girl, like, I don't think I can. So how do we, if we find ourselves in that position of still longing for something like that, how do we snatch ourselves? How do we come out of that state of mind? Sister Bimbo.
Okay, this world has, to us, to everybody, there's a measure of this world that we still carry in our hearts. Stuff that we want to do, want to be, and all of that. But the truth is, from where we are, where the Lord has brought us to as a company, I believe that the Lord wants those things to fall off. And it's such that they would die a natural death. Praise God. In scripture, who was talking now that was saying, Paul was saying that the world to come whereof we speak. If there are things that we still hold on to in this world, it's because the world to come whereof we speak, the picture is not yet clear. Praise God. And that's what we come to church for. That's what we are listening to, all the coming to church, is to get a picture of that which is to come, such that this present, it will fall off by itself. Praise God. So imagine that somebody wants to give you, you can see it. If you can see clearly a Ferrari, if somebody is handing you keys to a Toyota Corolla, but you can see clearly that this is the Ferrari and this is the way to get this Ferrari, will you stay with the Toyota Corolla? It's not likely. Praise God. So if there is anything that we are still holding on to, Yoruba call it Wayemaya, that you still want to get with all of your heart, is because somewhere you cannot quite see yet that which is to come. And that's the problem. That's the only problem. And that's the only solution, actually. That's the problem that you have, and that's the solution, to get a better view of that which is to come. Because once you begin to see, everything is about our sight, our understanding. Pastor TJ will say that eternal life is understanding. This eternal everlasting life is what you can understand, what you can see. So if we're talking about, God wants to wrap up this present world, if you can see the world to come, you and God, you'll be sitting there every day in God's court. God, how far now? Let's wrap this thing up. Because the Bible says it is the spirit and the bride that are saying come. Yeah. The reason they can call come is they can see something. They are seeing something. They are seeing something. So imagine you, will you tell Paul that, can you have a discussion with Paul now that, I never born, no. God must not come because I have not given birth. Somewhere, sometimes you send a text to our parents, our pastors, they don't answer you, right? How many of us has that happened to? You send pastor or pastoral something. They'll just read it and they'll just read and pass. And it'll be like, she pastor did not see the thing that I'm seeing. He did not see what I'm saying. But the truth is there's something he's seeing. And in his mind, he's just like, you are not serious. So there are some things that are happening and in your mind it's so heavy. But somewhere, angels are just looking at you. God is just looking at you. You are not serious. You are not serious. Because there is something to see. Praise God. There's something bigger that God is painting. But our problem is we really cannot just see it yet. That's why he's painting you. The truth is, yeah, we are here. We want to marry. I want to born. I will not lie. But the truth is there is something bigger. There's something better. And we are just not seeing it yet. And that's what you should be striving for, to see. Once you can get a sight, you will join the people that are crying, the spirit and the bride, say come. We'll not be singing it because we are singing chorus. Because the truth is, the world to come, we will call it. We will call it. It's people that will call it. And the Bible says that our pastors have said that if we don't do it in this generation, we will go.
Yes.
Another generation will come that will cry for the world to come because they can see it. So we better sit down now and listen and let the painting become clearer. What Daddy is doing, Daddy is painting all our pastors. They are painting a picture. They are calling for another place, for another world. And that's till all of us begin to call, everybody, till we begin to call. All these things will lose weight. It's weight. What's the weight of marrying to the weight of the world to come? What's the weight of having a baby? What's the weight to the weight of the world to come? Because whatever it is you want to get here, people have had it, people have left it. Everything that you can dream of. The Bible says that there is nothing new under the sun. There is nothing that you are gunning for that is new. Anybody that will invent anything tomorrow, it is not new. It has been before. It will still be after. Do you know how many people have married? How many people have born? How many people have had jobs? TV. Are you serious? You want to be on TV? Is that your dream? Praise God. The Lord will help us. So there are bigger things. There are bigger things to see. But what's your eyes really saying? If you don't see it, you don't see it. And that's the truth. If you cannot see it, you cannot see it. If you can't see it. But the Lord is... That's what the Lord is doing with us. Changing your eyes. Changing your understanding. And that's why we come to church. It's not just to change. Once your understanding changes, you will change. Once your understanding changes, you begin to... There's a song that says, when all that surrounds me becomes shadows in the light of you. You begin to see that. Kilele. Like this thing will pass, but they are painting that which is eternal to us. So, you know, that's how you drop this present world. That's how this present world will drop. You just say things will begin to drop. It's not like you want to, they'll be telling you, oh God, go and marry, go and marry. Because the truth is you are no longer seeing it. But the Lord will say, marry. You need to marry to enter the everlasting life. Marry, marry, marry. Sorry. It's not you now. Praise God. The Lord will help us. Our eyes will be open. Our eyes will be open to see. The Lord will really help us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Tabitha. Please, a round of applause for her. I'm actually coming to you. Sorry, sir. So, my bro Mike, Stabimbo said something about seeing, you know, and some people are actually in the place of not being able to see yet because it's far off for them. It's not something that is tangible, that world to come, because this is what they are seeing at the moment. But that world to come is not tangible. So some, like, even the world, like teenagers, actually, children should be able to see the world to come. They should be able to see it. So, bro Mike, with the fact that, yes, you still want to get married, you know, like, how have you been able to use faith? Bro, it's a question. You see why I'm asked, I said that now. So, considering the fact that, yes, you still have that thought, because the truth is, you are being sincere. You are being sincere now.
I did not say married.
Okay. Even if you didn't say marriage, whatever it is that you still want to do. In this present world that is still in your heart and you are sincere about, how have you been able to use faith to long for the world to come? Because that one is very tangible now. But how have you been able to use faith, even the one you are not seeing, the world to come that you cannot see, how have you been able to use faith to long for it?
Thank you very much. Well, you know, sometimes when thoughts like, the world to come, you know, the new heaven and the new earth. And then you discover, like you said, you know, and you find out that your heart is, you know, just trying to stay here. Just trying to look at many things. You know, one of the things that I just used to say, you know, sometimes I used to say it laughing that, you know, I just used to say to myself that, you know, this is Satan being afraid. Because somewhere, my understanding is that somewhere, Satan is pumping glory into this present world so that he can remain. The truth is that he knows that his end is already sure. But he wants to, as much as he can, delay the time. So you hear Project 2050, Project 2060, and then people are anticipating that, hey, when 2060 will come, like, now all of those things is Satan trying to remain there. In the air. Because he knows that by the time a critical mass of people are no longer interested in this world, he will fall. His judgment to the lake of fire will be passed and he's going there. Do you understand? So many a times he puts all of those glory that are not really glory, as it were, in our hearts. You know, you've not gotten this thing. Why are you? It's just to kill the eagerness to see the world to come. Do you understand? Just to distract us from, you know, pursuing the world to come with all of our strength. So he puts, now, anything you're anticipating to get now, the moment you get it, you already have another thing you want to get. Do you understand? It's as if as you are getting this one, it's giving birth to another one that you need to get. Then as you get, getting that one, so all of those things is Satan trying to remain. You know, most times I just laugh and be like, this is you being afraid. It's not even me. You are the one being afraid of lake, where you belong. So, you're just pointing, you have to get this, you have to get this, you have to get this, you have to get all of those things is so that there could still be a, you know, great number of people pouring worship to him, keeping him in the air. By the time a critical mass of people can disobey, ignore his presence and everything that he's selling, we discover that he does not have any strength to remain in the air. So, one of the things that we should trust God for, like we used to say, you know, is that the tangibility of the world to come, you know, appears to our heart. The truth is that it's there. We know it. You know, the illustration I used to give, you know, is that somewhere, we know what we can use this word for, you know. Now, they've dashed our, we now know that eternal life will not even make us fly. We are not even able to be flying like Superman. So that means it's not even for us to be. So the excitement of when I have eternal life, You know, I'll be on top of it. It's gone. By understanding, we now know that it's not to be entering war. It's not that now I want to be in Germany, then you go. No, no, that's not eternal life. So what is it? Do you understand? So what exactly is this eternal life? Now, the moment, like, Mumbimbo said, the moment our hearts can, for a child of 7, 8, 9, 10, already know what money can be used for. Do you understand? You know, he has been sent out of class because his school fees was not complete. And then, you know, we've been chased out of the house. You know, the parent has been chased out of the house because they could not pay the house. So somewhere in the heart of that child, the child already knows the value of being rich. So when the child is pursuing it with all his life, he's not being wicked. You know what I'm saying? He's not being wicked. He's just doing something that is tangible to his soul at that time. And one thing about the soul of man is that whatever the soul can grab, whatever the soul can understand, the soul is ready to pour out the last of his strength for it. Do you understand? People, no, as fearful as death is in this side of the world, people do it for their statue just to be placed somewhere. It has never made sense to me, and I don't think people just, you see people be like, remember me? I think one happened recently. A military man just burned himself because he's trying to advocate for the killing of the Palestinians, and then he just put fire on himself. You know, that shows how fearless really the soul is. Once you can paint something glorious to it, the soul is not afraid to take up anything, any cause. That's the truth. The soul is not afraid to take up any cause. What we need to do, and always ask God to do, is to give us, you know, to paint the tangibility of the world to come. Once it appears to the soul, there's nothing the soul cannot give for it. Do you understand? There's nothing the soul cannot give for it. All these, I find it difficult to listen to me say, it's because the tangibility is not yet there. The moment it appears, the moment it appears to the soul, people, you know, when you hear the extreme, you know, weather and things that people put their body to because of money, then you will know that these people go through desert just to cross to Europe. Some people cannot swim. Like, someone like me, I cannot swim inside a bucket. I will drown. Do you understand? But, you know, just for the hope of better life. Do you understand? Hope of better life abroad. People can pass through the Atlantic Ocean. Do you understand? Just to get there. And you think, you know that they've not been there. They've not also been there. But it was preached until it became tangible. So also it is that by continuous hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, the world to come can be tangible to the soul. And at that time, the soul can give all to get it. That's it.
Thank you so much, Pastor Mike. Thank you so much. Okay, wow. Thank you. Thank you so much. We've come to the end of the review. However, we are now at the Q&A session. We have a question here already. We have just one question. No other question. Okay, that's good. Okay, so this question starts by thanking Pastor Mike and Stabimbo. Concerning what Pastor Mike said about the quiet time, personally for me, I find myself engaging most of the topics I find intriguing in church service. And when I do sometimes, I think I am led into other scriptures. And sometimes I go ahead to explain on my WhatsApp status. So my question is this wrong or right? Like, is this the quiet time? The person is saying that explaining on their WhatsApp status.
Okay.
Is that the quiet time? Is this wrong or right? Is it?
That's loud.
Loud time. Okay. That's not the question. Okay. Concerning what Pastor Mike said about the quiet time, personally for me, I find myself engaging most of the topics. Oh, okay, I see now. Most of the topics I find intriguing in church service. And when I do sometimes, I think I am led into other scriptures. And sometimes I go ahead to explain on my WhatsApp status. So my question is this right or wrong? I think there are two questions. So.
I can hear it. Okay, so like Daddy said, you know, so it's good for us to, there's this saying that says that when the purpose of a thing is not known, abuse is inevitable. And I think that's one of the things I saw when Daddy was speaking, that when we don't know the purpose of a thing, that now I realize that the purpose of quiet time mutually is for discipline. You know, to have this, you know, there's a way you can be trained to know that God owns you and your time. So regardless of how busy you have been trained to be conscious enough to yield to God at every prompting, at every time that God wants you to yield to Him. So we need to also now know what's the essence of the quiet time. Now, so that because of we not knowing the essence of the quiet time is what pushes us to, you know, wanting to put it on the status. You know, when Sister Bimbo was asking the question about sisters' understanding, I wanted to say that even most of us brothers, is recently God is helping us. Many brothers, the way we attack messages, not so that we can become it. Because we want to, you know, just preach. And then, you know, and somewhere, you just feel like, what's your life as a brother if you cannot preach? That you cannot tear ever. You understand? You should, it's part of our game. The game is the game. Do you understand? So, it's actually our game. Do you understand? At least, you know, you just see, especially those days in school, God will have mercy. You know, just see that everybody's going towards Bible study secretary. And you're like, I'm the president now. What do you mean? I know this thing. What's wrong with you? You see what I'm saying? Like, what's wrong with the pastor? So all of those things, everybody, both sisters, both brothers, you understand, just going towards, and you're like, me too, I have this thing. And you're like, actually, so where you stop, you now want to raise it from there. And from there, you have taught many nonsense. God, you have mercy. Okay, so it's good to understand that it is for, first of all, personal development, soul. Do you understand? Personal development of the soul, because we have been taught, you know, in Sunday school, spirit, soul, and body, the nature of the soul, how the body grows by the 6 classes of food that we have. That's how the body grows. But the soul grows by knowledge. How you improve the health of your soul. How you can also damage the health of your soul is by knowledge. So the essence of the quiet time, the essence of my study, like you said, topics that are not clear in church is a deficiency that is not yet clear, because your soul is the seat of knowledge. It's a deficiency. So you want to give effort to make sure that it's now clear. So those are the essence of, you know, times like that, quiet time, time of fellowship. You know, another thing I think fellowship time should be used for is, you know, is a time to, you know, to reflect, you know, to reflect on, you know, everything the Lord is saying. You know, I was saying that somewhere, one of the things I think I found very, very, I think is in our atmosphere, or personally, my atmosphere recently is, you know, I've discovered that the moment we judge God out of the eyes of fellowship, we misjudge Him. You know, especially in this time, in this season that we are, we can misjudge God because of a lot of things. You know, even things that you feel that, okay, I've forgotten about it. We have given it all to God. You know, something will just happen and you'll be like, how is God faithful in this matter? How is God, you know, when the election came, and then the admonition was that it's God, that, and we all agreed that, okay, it's God. There's only some things begin to happen, and we're like, God, you know also that this thing will also happen. So I think the place of fellowship has made me realize that the moment, like Pastor was reading to us today, Psalm 73, and of all the troubles of David, it is until he went into the sanctuary. Now, sanctuary, not necessarily church, is a place of fellowship. Do you understand? That is the only place we can judge God right. Judging God with every other eyes outside of the place of fellowship will misjudge him. And I think one of the major fights that Satan is fighting the soul of every man is that men should not judge God well. Judge God unfaithful, you know, maybe the hardship, the economy, the job, the everything. We want men. And I think one of the character of the man of sin is that he will have been turned completely against God. So in the place of fellowship is where we, you know, we see God aright through the help of the Holy Ghost, through scripture, through praying. We see God, you know, we can see God, we can see ourselves and know that God is still faithful regardless. So the purpose of quiet time is for personal soul development, personal relationship with God. That's the essence of quiet time. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Pastor Mike. So I hope the person gets the answer to this question. All right. So the next one. Good afternoon, everyone. My question to the panelists is that Bro Mike said something about the day of the Lord. And in the scripture, it appears that day of the Lord is different from how it's been relayed in the New Testament. Using these scriptures as example, 2 Peter 3:10. Amos 5:20 and Joel 1:15. So the real question is, is the day of the Lord different? Probably from what is being said or how it is being explained in these scriptures.
That's why I said it's a review. So Pastor will talk about the day of the Lord.
Okay. All right. So let's move on to the next one then. Okay, so this one says, I understand that when we see the tangibility of the world to come, we will be willing for this present world to be rolled away. Does it mean that Demas, who loved this present world, didn't see the tangibility of the world to come, even though he followed Paul? Sister Bimbo. Please, ma'am, because of time constraint.
I hope we understand what Pastor is saying. It's something that the Hagin says, that if anybody just, Rema is the school that Papa Hagin runs. So if anybody just behaves out of sorts, you do not come to our school. It's not our school you came to. Praise God. Now, the truth is, the Bible just records that Demas left Paul having loved this present world. How many explanation do you want? It's as clear as that. He left having loved this present world. Now, you can want to put your own Rema inside, if you like, but the Bible just says he left and there's no record of him coming back. And John was writing about Jesus and saying that if all that Jesus was going to be done was recorded, that the Bible couldn't contain it. So I believe that things that were put in scripture are very critical. It's because you need to know. That's why they put it there. If we did not need it, it will not be included. Praise God. So do we really think it's possible? Yes, it's possible for someone to have journeyed with us for a long time and the person still cannot see. That's why they're always emphasizing, make sure you are following. Don't just be for reject, but everybody is going, you too, you are going. Because something will jam you one day and thing will hit you out. And you just find yourself outside. Why? You did not really company with us. You did not go to Rema. You really did not company with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, as everybody is company, make sure you are company. That's the cocoa. Praise God.
Thank you, Stabimbo. Thank you. Okay. So, the next question. Good morning, everyone. Okay. If the day of the Lord is the coming of the knowledge of the Lord on the earth, then what is the difference between the appearance and the day of the Lord? Or is it the same? Please, I need further explanation. Romai. Okay. So, I think Bromike, I think you can answer this one. My question is, how can one keep fellowshipping with the thoughts of eternal life or even be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit continually? For me, I'm a trainee in a fashion school, and once my boss gives me a clothes or an activity to do, I shut down my heart and use my head. Literally, I won't be able to follow a thought that is outside the activity. Once I'm done, I find it very difficult to come back to that previous thought in my heart. And I find myself weak and tired in my mind, which eventually makes me lose interest.
Okay, the person is a trainee in a fashion school. Some of us go to work and some jobs are very mind tasking. Customer care, like Pastor said, like every 2 minutes you are attending to somebody on call, and you can be talking to somebody for 5 minutes. Person is complaining. By the time you are done, you just want to shut down, shut out, shut in. Everybody shut up, basically. you don't want to think. So, like, you get home, your mind is exhausted, your body is exhausted. And yes, I'm trying to reconcile with you that yes, it happens. It's a real thing. But even in that is where the Lord is. If it was going to be handed to you on a platter of gold, there would have been no work for you to do. But it's a work. It's a work for you to do. It's a work. It's something you have to put in effort to get. Exercise, Daddy said. You don't sleep and wake up and wake into eternal life. It's not possible. So even if when you go to work, you know, and the truth is there are some jobs, if you are not there 100%, you can't give your 100%. And Daddy will also say it's a place of faithfulness. Be there completely. Make sure you give what you are supposed to give. But your mind and your heart, they are different. There are different compartments in our soul. That's where you must know the compartments in your soul. There's your mind and there's your heart. So your mind can be doing something on your computer for hours on end. But there's something else your heart is with. What you need to work any secular job is your mind. It's your mind. All the IQ, all the everything is your mind. It did not reach your heart. So make sure that whatever it is you are doing, let it not get to your heart. Where it gets to your heart is, you know, you are obsessed with it. You want to be the best. You will look back by award. Every clothes that you sew, you want is your clothes. They should say that. Can't you see the clothes she sewed? Compare it to your own clothes. Best staff of the year. Now you won't collect them all the time. It has moved from your mind to your heart. And that heart is supposed to be occupied with something else. The world to come. Praise God. So you can give your all at your job. Just, it's a place of understanding. I believe Pastor will help us to simplify it more. But it's your understanding. Use your mind to do what you need to do at work. But let your heart. So it's such that when you leave that place, because your heart is on something else, your heart will just shift to where it releases. Is default position. So that I finished attending to all the customers. But when I sleep on my bed and I lie down, it's just the thoughts of the Lord, because that's what is in my heart. So as I'm lying on my bed, I'm tired, I'm exhausted. But because the Lord is in my heart, that's where my mind too will go to. Because the Lord has always been on my heart. So there's something my husband always leads us to pray when we pray morning devotion at home. He has a very tasking job, very, very tasking. So sometimes, even me as his wife, I cannot reach him during the day. But there's a prayer. When we first got married, I used to wonder that, Ogbeni, are you not tired of these prayer points? But these days, I see the reason why. You say, let's pray that in all of our runnings of the day, the Lord will not be far from our hearts, such that our breathing is, our consciousness is the Lord. So he's doing a lot of designs, but the atmosphere over him is the Lord. Such that a customer is angry, but once the customer goes and you've settled that issue, your default mode is the Lord. It all depends on what is in your heart. So Don't use your heart to sew clothes. Don't use your heart to attend to customer. Your heart will go with the customer. By the time you come to your default mode, there's nothing there again. The Lord cannot be found. You have used your heart for it instead of just using your mind. The Lord will help us in Jesus'
name. Thank you so much, Tabimbo. Please, a round of applause once again for our panelists. Okay. Pastor wants to...
What she said, please, everybody must learn it. School, employees, business owners, you must learn it. If you don't, you will trip off that balance between being effective on your job and separating your heart to the Lord. That balance. And you know, one of the things that this world does, this world will not give you anything without taking your soul. It will not. And it's a sacrifice that it wants to push you so that you will make. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, there is a way we can be effective without giving our heart to what we are doing. Do you understand it? We have given our, you have learned mastery. That doesn't mean you should be a mediocre. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can learn mastery. I remember when I was on job, the time came that I will be, in my dream, the name of my client will be pursuing me like this. When I got to that point, I said, Laide, you have done enough. This work will not leave you, must not follow your mind out of this office. Must not follow you. Now, that doesn't mean the Holy Ghost can't bring up a case that I need to pay attention to. I know, but I know that it is the Holy Ghost bringing this one up, not my soul. Because your soul can be so consumed with the work that your, that's what, that, in fact, some of your bosses want you to be like that. That you live and breathe the work. You say, yes, this is the kind of, you're a performer that you can't, you are even sleep, you are restless, you can't sleep because of the work. They want that kind of person. And that's the kind of person that they push for promotions. If whether you are doing the work or not, that's not what they want. They just want you to be so entangled. That's the word, entangled. Now, we can do it and do it excellently. And yet, our soul is preserved for the Lord. And you understand what I'm saying? One of the secrets of it is to rightly esteem it and know the reason why you are doing it. The reason why you are laboring so is first and foremost because God requires you to be faithful. My father worketh it, that's why I work. It's not because of any hope. It's primarily because of faithfulness. So my devotion is not to appear, my devotion, my faithfulness, my attention to the work is not because of anything. It's not even because of increase in salary. It's not even because of promotion. It's not even because of excellence for excellence sake. Is to be faithful. Once I understand that, my service, my devotion becomes spiritual. It becomes much more than an academic exercise or a professional pursuit. It becomes a spiritual service. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It becomes a spiritual service such that I am doing the same thing that everybody is doing, but I'm getting life. What I'm getting as my wages is life. Other people can get in recommendations and promotion, but what I am harvesting is life because I see the spiritual essence of what I am supposed to do. Now, what it does is that when I'm arising from the work, I am not cumbered. All the excess baggage of lost weight that will prevent a man from looking to God, I am not arising with it. I'm not arising with strife and competition with my fellow colleagues. I'm not arising with anything. My heavens are so clear that I can connect with the next message immediately. But if I didn't see it immediately after work, have you ever finished work? You are so weighed down. Anything spiritual, you are just so cut off from any spiritual reality because somewhere you have meddled. It's like they've soaked you in the mud. Sometimes you need to be in the atmosphere of meeting for 2 hours, 3 hours, for them to wash all that debris, wash it, before you can lift up holy hands. Because the atmosphere has rubbed you inside dirty. You understand it? You are so being mingled inside all the things that have been done that you don't even feel saved. You don't feel spiritual. I know it's not a feeling, but there's just a spiritual blanket around you that looks like, let me just be going home. Let me kiss my mother-in-law. Are you understanding what I'm saying? But you can still do your work, and it's a spiritual service. You live renewed. At a point in time, I had to tell myself, if it means disappointing my boss, I am well. Now I'm saying it with caution, so that somebody say, ah. So no. I'm saying with caution. But you must know the balance where they want you to trip off the line. From effectiveness to a place where you go to worship. Yes. Where you worship. You can worship anything you do here. You can. It just is a thin line between effectiveness and worship. A very, very thin line. And the world wants you to tip off that balance. That's what it takes to commit. Satan will not commit this world if you don't bow down and worship. He will not give you. So, the first try starts teaching you effectiveness. You need to be effective. You need to be effective. Effectiveness. You will not know when you cross the boundaries to worship. Many beautiful Christians have gone like that. They now become conversing preachers of the world. They will tell you that you are heavenly, this thing, earthly useless. That's where it comes from. Because somewhere they just didn't see the line where you need to hold back. That I'm not going beyond this point. Amen. So we need to be very, very, very mindful. Say that those that use this word as not abusing it, understanding that the fashion thereof faded away. So there's a difference between use and abuse. Use, we are to use it, but not abuse it. The Lord will help us.
Thank you so much, Pastor. Please, a round of applause once again for Stabbing Boyant. But Mike, we've come to the end of the review.
It's not me that I'm rounding off. Pastor Moses is doing that, but he wants me to answer the day of the Lord and all the passages. Amen. I like people who study, and can we appreciate the persons that asked the question? It shows that there is knowledge somewhere. Now, one of the things that the Bible says in the book of Genesis, I think Brother Michael also noted it, was that when you begin to see how the day is described from Genesis chapter 1, it said the evening and the morning were the first day, or the evening and the morning are the second day, and so on like that. Now, the day, what we call day now, didn't start until day 4. Day 4, that's Genesis chapter 14, there about 14, 15. When they gave the sun and the moon and the stars for times and for seasons. Amen. But what were they using to measure day? For day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4. Are you understanding what? So you know that day is not 24 hours. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Do you understand Bible? That day is not a 24-hour timeline. The measure, those 7 days that they used to create is not 24 hours. The measurement of 24 hours was not created until day 4. Sun, moon, stars, for lights, for time, for seasons. Amen. Now, the implication of the understanding of it is when they say the day of the Lord, the day of the Lord is not a particular day. Are you understanding? It's not one Thursday. Because when you look at the events, how the day of the Lord unfolds, and I will still show us from scriptures, that when you look at the way the day of the Lord unfolds, there is the great and terrible day of the Lord. Or in the book of Acts, the great and notable, that's great and notable day of the Lord. Or when the day, as it were, is fully completed. For example, even in the in a normal day, when is our time? Day starts for 12 a.m. But it starts with darkness. Then it begins to dawn. Till the sun is up, then there is dusk, and then there is set. So you see that there's night and morning in the day, or in the language of scriptures, evening and morning. Are you understanding it? So when they say day, for example, the passage that our brother was quoting in the book of Amos, he said that, woe unto you that seek unto the day of the Lord, for it's the day of blackness and not the day of light. I understand what you are saying, because it's an event also that will happen in the day of the Lord. Are you understanding what I'm saying? It's an event that will happen in the day of the Lord. But the description of the day of the Lord that our brother Michael said, there is the season of the giving of light. There is the season of the withdrawing of the light. Are you understanding what I'm saying? There is the season of what? In that day. And there's the withdrawing of the light. Because it's evening and morning, or night and morning. Are you understanding what? So, one of the things that Jesus began to say to you is that when you have light, walk in the light while there is light. Because the night comes where no man can walk. He said that, now, if you walk in the night, you stumble. Not because there is no light, but because there is no light in you. Are you understanding? So, when in the season of light, before the day when the light will be withdrawn and all things will be melted, which is the final end of the day, because that's what many people see when they see day of the Lord. Before that day comes, some persons are to use that light to walk until night comes. Thessalonians now say, the day will come as a thief in the night. But before the night comes, some people have used, when the day, the light of that day is shining, some people have used it to walk. And they've now internalized that light. The light is now in them. When the light comes, they are children of day, not of the night. Not because there is no darkness around, but because there is light inside of them. So, at the end of the night, the old place will be wrapped up. But those that now have had the light inside of them will be saved. So, what Michael is saying is this, that the beginning of the declaration of the day is giving of light. The shining of the knowledge of a person, which every soul is to use to walk until that light becomes a light inside of them. Such that by the time the night of the day is dawning, you can still walk and not stumble. According to Thessalonians 5, you will still be able to walk and not stumble because the light is in you. At the end of the night, then they said they will now take up, they will now close the physical aspect of this world. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So scriptures is not contradictory. You just need understanding to know the alignment. So why we are saying the day is already here? Because a light is shining. And men must start walking in that light. Because night is also coming. Night is also part of the day. Night is coming. Night is coming. Night is coming. Night is coming. One of the things that Thessalonians said, that those that are drunk and those that sleep, sleep in the night. So one of the things that will be associated with night also is that evil will multiply. Drunkenness will multiply. Slumber will multiply. Before, so when he said, when Amos is saying, those that woe to them that desire the day of the Lord, because the day of darkness is actually those that are calling for hand without light. They've not enjoyed the administration of light, but they are calling for the hand of all things. He said, when you read it in context, it's actually hypocrisy. God was annoyed with that generation because you are not desiring light. You are desiring closure of all things. You are not desiring the appearance. You are desiring closure of all things. Which kind of nonsense is that? If I'm to close everything, every one of you will be destroyed. So, people must enjoy what you call appearance is the light or the giving of light of day in the day. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The season when light, because really Christ is that light. Is that God who commanded light to shine out of darkness had commanded the light of the glorious gospel of God to shine in our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ. So, I remember Billy Akoni teaching. He said, Jesus Christ was that light that was called out of darkness. Christ allocation. Becoming like Jesus. Billy thought about it. He said, that light. These fathers had some measures of that light. That light is a revelation of a person. And a person must walk in it for that light to be shifted from outside to within the soul. When you have used the light, you have inherited the light. You are children of light or children of the day. You are children. That means you have been born by the light. You have been born of light. You have used the light to live. It has become your life. Then you walk in darkness and you will not stumble because the light is in you. Are you understanding? So, I don't want to complicate things for that person. I just think, maybe I'll just leave it at this level. Amen. So that I don't, but let, suffice it to understand that there is no day without shining light. Let's check that John chapter 12. I feel that that person needs to see scriptures. Sorry, I'm just feeling the soul, because the soul I'm discussing with is a scripture man. Yeah. It's John 12. Let me get the scriptures. 35. Jesus said, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest what? Darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not what? Where he goeth. While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may what? Children of light. This thing speak Jesus Christ. And then I think the complementary part is 46. Thank you. I am come a light in the world, that whosoever believe in me should not abide in darkness. Go ahead. And if any man, I think the complementary verse of that passage is in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We'll see, go back to that 35, 36 where we read when it said, if a man walk in darkness, stumbles, it's because there's no light in him. Quickly. I just want you to see that passage. It's for the sake of our brother. Amen. It's good. Sorry. Okay. Let me just get it. Okay. Thank you. It's my bad. Now, start from verse 8, John 11. Zabu said unto him, Masters, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and thou goest thither again. Verse 9. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours on the day? If a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not. Now, this day is different from the day. This day, that's it, the day in a day. The day is the season. This day that he's talking about is the duration of giving light. That's why I say, are there not 12 hours in a day? We know that it's not 12 hours that in a day, it's 24 hours. Are you understanding? But the day that's being referred to is the duration where light is given. Are you understanding? So there is the day in a day. There is the day where light is administered. There is the part of the day where darkness is. So he said, are there not 12 hours in the day? Walk, are there not 12 hours? If a man walk in the day, he doesn't stumble, because he seeth the light of this world. Now, if you go to that chapter 12, chapter 12, we'll still read the verse 10 later. But Jesus said unto you, yet a little while, is the light with you? I am the light of this world. You remember? I am the light of this world. He said, if you walk in the light of this world, you don't stop, because you see the light of this world. So the light of this world is not just the sun, it's a man. Are you understanding? The light of this world is what? It's not the sun, it's a man. But the sun is a figurative expression of that person. And the way the sun rises from the east and sets in the west is gradual. The emergence of that light is gradual. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So yet a little while the light is with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in there knoweth not whither he goeth. Now go to chapter 11. Go to chapter 11, verse 10 now. Thank you. He said, if a man walk in the darkness, put verse 9 and 10 together. Just do that so that I don't stress you. He said, if a man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. I said, the light of this world is a person. He said, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth. Because what? Not because there's no light around. Because there is no light. So, chapter 12 said, walk in the light so that you become children of light. How do you become a child of light? The light that is outside translates to what is inside. So that even when you walk in the night, you don't stumble. That's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 was saying. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Are you understanding? Are you understanding? Yes, 1 Thessalonians 5. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. So it's not the day of the day that is coming. It's in the dark night time. When the light has been withdrawn. Are you understanding? They come as a thief in the night. Say amen. Amen. For when they shall say peace and safety, sudden destruction come upon them and travel upon travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Uh-huh. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Uh-huh. For ye are all children of light. Are you saying children of light? Children of light that we saw in chapter 12 of John. That walk ye in the light, that ye may be what? Children of light. That is what will keep these people from walking in darkness. So that means they have used the light that was available during the day. They have become children of light. That's where, when the night came, you say, it can't take you unawares. So what will make it not come as a thief to you is because you have used light. You have used light. You have used light. You have used light. You have been born of light. You have been born of light. So you are children of light and not and the children of the day. Are you seeing? So you were bettered by the day. That means you used the light of the day till it bettered you or till you inherited it. So we are not of darkness. We are not of the night, nor of the darkness. Are you understanding now? So there is the day, there's the light of the day, there's the night of the day. Then there's the day that comes in the night of the day. Are you understanding it? When you understand these things, scriptures will not be confusing to you. Scripture is not confusing to you. Scripture is not conflicting. Hallelujah. So what's your responsibility? Use light to walk till you are born of light. When you become born of light, all the suddenness, why God is preparing, God is using light to bet some of us. Some people are already being betted by light. All this declaration, alarm that God is sounding, all this trumpeting is a people being betted by light or inheriting light. They are becoming children of light or children of the day. That's what Isaiah 60 says. Isaiah 60, arise, shine, arise, for the light has come, for your, arise and shine for your, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord is what? Risen upon thee. For what? Behold, the darkness shall cover the head. And what? Gross darkness. But the light shall arise upon thee, and is what? Glory shall be seen upon thee. So you see that God is doing an operation to feast people with light so that in the midst of darkness, when darkness comes, they have light in them. And the light is also the ministration or the giving of glory things. Are we understanding? So the great and terrible day of the Lord is still come. It's still part of the program of the day. It's still part of the program of the day. Amen. Amen. Are we blessed? Pastor, thank you, sir.
I appreciate Pastor Lydon. Awesome. Hallelujah. Pastor, thank you very much, sir. That was very explicit. Everybody understood this explanation. It's so much help. Amen. I would like to also appreciate the panelists that took us through this session. Can we appreciate them? They did a fantastic job. When Pastor said I should take the summary, but I was just listening to everything they said, and truth to be told is that they did very good justice to all the questions and all the thoughts that came forward. And I saw that the Lord helped them to throw a lot of light. The beauty of this review session is that it helps the flock. It first of all, it challenges us to see that the pastors are not just preaching over our heads. People are actually learning stuff. People are understanding the message. People are also giving themselves, you know, wholly. People are responding. People are fighting. You know, it helps us to, it brings the mindset of the flock where you can, you don't feel you are alone. There's a way your mind tells you that this thing, you are the only one not understanding. I don't know how many of you must have fought that battle. You just think you're the only one not understanding. Maybe you're the only one not getting it. And when you get to that point, Satan is already at work because he wants to isolate you. He wants to tell you that you are different. He wants to tell you that this thing, well, the church is a nice church. I like the pastor, but maybe you don't belong here. He wants to tell you that the message is not for you. Can you just do simple Christianity? You know, serve God. The pastor will say, Shami, Shallelujah. Shadora Shami, you know, and just give your offering and go. But Jesus said to his disciples, he said these things, he said to them is not given. He said, but to you, it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Bimbo, I really like you so much. I like the way you were tackling. Of course, Mike was also doing very terrible justice. Can we appreciate Bimbo particularly? I was whispering to Pastor. I said, Kai, I like this girl. I like your spirit. And there was a way you were able to animate the answers you were bringing forth. And it helps. It helped a lot of us, including me. I also loved and picked a few things here and there. Amen. I have been checking even the things I noted down that I was going to touch, but they have done so much justice, and Pastor have, you know, came to round up. But I'll just touch a few things. The first thing that came to my heart, I wanted to just say to us is, I'm not going to touch everything, maybe question to questions, answers to answer, but I'll just speak in a general sense. Is that I might also repeat some things they've said before, but I'm just bringing in a summary. The thing about our Christian journey or our Christian commitment, our life in the spirit, is the Lord wants us to come into experiential, not just knowledge, but experiential knowledge. The Lord wants to bring us to a place where we take ownership, we inherit what is given. The thoughts are not meant to, like one of our brethren asks that he likes to share on status, you know, and when you listen, you get a revelation and you want to share the voice. So the idea is not necessarily, of course, if the Lord permits you, maybe perhaps there is a call upon your life, or the Lord is leading you in that direction to share some thoughts. That on itself is fine. It's not a sin. But much more, if that becomes your major preoccupation, you know, as the word is coming, you see yourself as a channel to reproduce it on status. And that is all you got from that 2 hours message, 1 hour, 30 minute message, then you have missed the point. The intention and the intention of God is for us to come into understanding. You know, that was very clearly painted by our panelists. We need to come into that understanding. Jesus said again, said, to you it is given to know. You know, to you it is given to know. We must come to the place where we have that understanding. And what that will do for us is that, I was saying to someone recently, and especially in this time when the thoughts have really gone, if you have been following teachings in recent times, you know that the thoughts have really gone very high. It has gone very high. And there is the tendency to give up. There's a tendency to just, I won't lie to you. Many of us still fight that thing. I still fight it. Let me be humble. I still fight. So in case you are thinking, I still fight. So if Baba Alagbara say he's fighting. Now let me say this to us. If I became very passionate about this thing, that folks in this company, we are under trial right now. And the trial is, first, God will not stop talking. The Lord will... Have you never noticed that? Let's use God's servant. I mean, he's the set man, Reverend Kayode Oyegoke. Everywhere he goes, even in GBS, Gadite Summit, you know, there is the mind that Gadite Summit is a student conference. Did this stop the revelation? He won't stop. Maybe he will started by playing with them, touch minor, minor things. Then when he's going, as when arrives around 11 p.m., they enter into something. So it tells me that the Lord has a plan. There's an agenda. So God's servant is just a vessel. He's just a mouthpiece. He can't stop himself. If he lives in Lorry, he goes to Abeokuta, he goes to Ibadan. The thing continues. And that the message, the thoughts does not have any regard for the gathering that these are students, so these are elders in church. It's like a fountain they open. You know, I was explaining with just Justin, and I said, what has happened now is that, you know, if you are into water engineering and you are drilling for a well, if you are trying to sink a borehole, you know, there are certain levels you get to, you heat water. Once you heat water and the water is clean, you know, you can stop there. But if you want to run a water business, serious water business, there are depths you should go to. There is a depth called aquifer. And if you study geology, when you get to that point, now when you get to borehole, you need submersible pumping machine to bring the water out. Am I correct? If you know borehole, you need pumping machine to bring it out. But if you hit an aquifer, you don't need pumping machine. You don't need pumping machine. Once you hit an aquifer, it's very deep. Nothing can stop. You can't block an aquifer. You can't cover it. No, you can cover your borehole. I don't need it anymore. Once you hit an aquifer, it's too late. Some 7-8 years ago, I was living somewhere and there was a water company. They wanted to build. Sorry, I'm just giving the story. Like I said, I may not say the things they said, but this is what is in my heart. But it still connects with what they said, the thoughts that they touched. And it was just a pure water business, a bottled water business. They were looking for a deep borehole, but they were lucky. They hit an aquifer. So when they hit the aquifer does not stop. No, borehole is only when you turn off your pumping machine that the water will come. If you off it, it will stop. Am I correct? But aquifer does not need pumping machine. Once you hit it, it's too late. It can rush for 1,000 years. It will not stop. So the company was now begging the communities, please, let us connect pipe. Because if they don't connect the water quickly, it can overwhelm. They can even, because you have to channel that water somewhere. So we're asking the communities that they want to give us, maybe sell to us at very giveaway offer, and then we can have water. So I'm using that to say that analogy or story to explain the thoughts of everlasting and eternal life is like an aquifer. It cannot stop. God's servant will not come down again. I want this to be, let it dawn in your soul. If I say will not come down, normally there are times he can come down, touch, because the Bible says that if the Lord permits, he can come and touch, you know, milk and touch. But once he's seated, he breaks into that aquifer. Nothing, it continues. Because the Lord is downloading something that is even beyond your generation. Because the truth is that what he's saying now, I can tell you, to a large extent, if this generation don't understand it, another generation will come. It will be useful for, in fact, it is the message that will close the age. And the Lord is bringing it to a place where it will sincerely, truly close the age. A thought started coming to me recently that, does it mean that if many of us break into these thoughts and we produce fruits, we become fruitful, and we come into eternal life expressions, the inheritance of eternal life, and then we come into the full reward, which is eternal life. I mean, everlasting life expressions, and into the full reward of eternal life. It may be a few in this generation. The Lord will still use this same word to harvest another generation. So, it is no respecter of persons. It is no respecter of times and season. Let me put it this way. It's actually the time and the season. So, if you feel you are weak, I don't understand, you have just cut yourself out of an eternal essence. So if you're waiting till maybe someday the message will become easier. So does it mean God is unfair and God is unrighteous? Maybe God is not fair. People like them, Pastor David, when he was ministering now. So say, Kai, this pastor is getting understanding now. But to you, it is given to know. Say to your neighbor, to you it is given to know. To you it is given to know. So it's not going to stop because of you. It won't stop because of you. So I also was just with a few people. We were talking in the office and I said, do you know that if you went, sorry, I'm using this very strong word, but just to capture, if somebody went into coma in 2015, you know, coma means somebody that becomes unconscious. And some people can be in coma for 10 years, 5 years. So somebody in 2015 and woke up last week. I started hearing a message now. And now you say, this is another world. You can't relate. That is even too far. If you stop listening to a message for 1 month and I'll come back again, where you want to start? It will take mercy. If you stop for 1 week, recently I've been struggling to catch up because in lorry I was very busy. I couldn't listen to the lorry message because you see, some things he said, daddy said in Ibadan mess meeting and then Undo meeting were a flow. Are you getting? Then suddenly now daddy's back and he's ministering here and then you're now like, some things he says are just bouncing, bang, bang, bang. And he's saying it like he assumed you listen to the previous one. And then you are like, ha, 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 ha. Now I want to bring a wisdom somewhere. But the truth is, I want to first of all impress this in our heart that the Lord will not stop for anyone. Because what he's doing is transgenerational. Do you understand what I'm saying? So if that fact and that understanding is established, now, if I say the Lord would not stop for anyone, I don't mean that we still have our pastors, our parents that come and teach some things. Sometimes they go back. Paul was teaching us in Hebrews chapter 6 that he was giving us the doctrine, the basic, the doctrine of, and he said in that Hebrews, he says, therefore, living the principles, you know, then he said, and there, I think in verse 5 or 4, he said, we'll do this if God permits. He said, and this we do. So we will go back now, give him from verse 2. From verse 2 now, of the doctrine, baptism, laying of hands, resurrection. No, start from verse 1. Let me just start the thoughts. Therefore, living the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. All right? So living the principles of the doctrine. The principles of the, that is what is called the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Now, living them and going on to perfection, not laying again all this foundation. Are we together? But in that 3, he now said, and this we will do if God permits. If God permits, we will still go and lay the foundations. Are we together? So this is not saying that sometimes the Lord will not still, it doesn't mean the Lord is callous and being insensitive. But I'm saying that there is a grand agenda that these things must be said now. Do you understand? So if you are wishing that it will become lighter and simpler, you know, as it comes from God's servant, it will not. It will still keep going higher. But now, let me now talk about the wisdom that is required from us. Because if I said this, I did not say what I want to say now. I did not help you. I'm only saying what is obvious. Do you understand? So the wisdom now is, you are just a young person or you are old, whatever age you are, and you are feeling overwhelmed. You are feeling overwhelmed and you are saying, how can I catch up? Because the truth is, if you are not wise to draw the line quickly, Satan will tell you that this is not for you. It's running too fast. He can even whisper to your ear, have you listened to a lorry message? You say no. What about then? You do a mental calculation like 30-something messages you have just missed. You calculated lorry, calculated the badon, calculated, you just say 30-something messages. Your heart will just sink. I die here. How do I proceed? So, a particular day, I was just trying to listen to one of the messages. I'm sorry. Then I remember another one. I really said, and there was Lekki Soul Center last week. I know that he said something. Then before I know, I just got jammed. Then that voice, you must always recognize that voice. They say, where will you start from? It looks like a very harmless suggestion. Where will you start from now? It looks harmless. You sabi? He's like, yes now. Because it doesn't stop there. Then it comes as a, so you think it's your mind thinking, is the message not getting too much so? It started with, where will I, you know, it doesn't say where will you, you think you're doing thinking, where will I start from? Is another voice. Then you're like, you now remembered Revelation Hour yesterday you missed. Hey, where will I start from? Then you now remember the season of the Spirit. Maybe you have been told to go and listen to them again. You now remember you calculated a message for 4 Sundays, I'll be 5 Sundays. How many messages, Pastor? Eh? It's more than 7, no? Then you're like, where will I start from? Now, the first warfare is do not despair. Say to your neighbor, do not despair. Because that is what Satan is bringing. Despair means you are overwhelmed. Because at the backyard of despair is frustration. At the back of despair, they are twin. Is frustration. Then just behind frustration is aspersion. It will bring anger and blame. Then you begin to look at Maybe pastor just one day just said something that is high again. Pastor Lady just said something. You say, they have come again. This thing is getting too much. I can't understand the previous one. What this one is saying again? When you get to the point, Satan is already getting close to your heart. So this is a clarion call for us to be wise. The thing we have found are treasures. The Lord was giving it a story about a man who found a land that had treasures in them. And what did the man do? He was going to buy the land. It was a land he went for. But as he dug, suddenly there was treasure. He didn't tell anybody. I guess there was a agent, land agent, that took him to the land. The agent said, this land, you go fit build your house here. And as he was walking in the land, checking the, just to check, and he saw something that looks good. Then he did like this and saw stones, precious stones. He just covered it back so that the agent will not see it. Then the agent said, this land is 20 million. Maybe initially he was complaining that no, 20 million for this area. No, it should be like 10 million. They were arguing. As he just kicked one stone, check it out. Then he just saw plenty of stones. All were gold. What will he do? The person that wants to buy the land, he will cover it. He say, which account should I say the 20 million? That is a natural reaction. The Bible said that man went away and went to sell all that he had. He went to sell all that he had to buy that land. Why? What was so powerful to make him go and sell all he had to buy a land? Now, when you say all he had, actually mean everything the man had. We don't know to how rich he was, but he sold all he had. It's possible that he did not have the amount to buy the land. So all he could do was go and sell all he had to purchase that land. Now, I want us to see the word that God has committed to us as that land that has precious stones. So the principle is, what are you willing to sell? What do you want to sell to buy that land or this land in this context? What are you willing to sell? What can you sell? Are you willing to sell it? Now, what is it you are supposed to sell? What can you trade off to buy, to procure your lot, to procure this once in a lifetime opportunity? Is it sacrifices you have to sacrifice? We need to ward off Satan. Satan knows better than us what is God has delivered to us. Satan knows. That's why he's fighting you. But how far can you go? We need to ask ourselves that question. How far can I go with this thing? You know, sometimes it is when you see we are together, you see somebody, you won't see the person again. You say, that person is... The warfare has started since, so not just when you stop seeing the person. So can you fight your warfare? Have you seen, like Bimbo said, he said, the problem why the natural or the present still overwhelms us is because we have not seen the future. It's the strength of the future, understanding of what God has delivered, that would help you. You know, many things will become light for you. Even our tribulations, our afflictions, our trials will become light. So for our light, except for our light affliction, worketh in us. Can I have that scripture? For our light, previous verse. Okay, 17. For our light affliction. Why did he call it light? Which is but for a moment work for us a more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. You see this, looking at the things that are seen and the things that are not seen. Looking at the things that are, why not looking at the things that are seen? And that is where Satan's strength lies. The things that are seen, the things of the present. These are the things that limit us for the things that are not seen. But we must look at the things that are not seen. That is what the word is doing for us. That's what it's trying to achieve. Make us see. The things that are not seen, he said they are, for the things that are seen are temporal. And that's the truth. And she gave example about marriage. Marriage is temporal. Why? They don't marry there. Children, and all the excitement, each of those children you have, we account for themselves. The way you will account for yourself. So the children are not your spoil. They are not your treasure. They won't judge you based on how many children did you give birth to while you were in the days of your flesh. They will not give you a reward. Of course, you will be rewarded for how you were able to raise them. But you will not be rewarded for how many children you got. So if you didn't get a child, that you didn't give birth to a child at all, you were married, you didn't give birth to a child at all, Heaven will not count it against you. You did not give birth to a child. It will not even affect your inheritance or your reward ultimately. So anything in the natural here, a good job, we are the one that called it good job anyway. A good career, good life, good car, good house. Those things, there's nothing wrong in living in a good house, in a comfortable house, comfortable car, comfortable, but those things are not what we measure your time spent here. It says for things which are not, which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. But they want us to look at those things that are not seen because they are eternal things. It is hard, but we must fight. So let me speak concerning the issue of when the messages are many and difficult and you are not able to find your bearing, go into the spirit. One of the things I began to do for some time is, if you, because you see, the Lord is the administrator. The Lord, Jesus can bear with the feelings of our infirmities. The Lord Jesus knows our limitation in the flesh. That is why some of us, the questions we ask is, I'm working, my work make a demand of my mind. How do I blend working and then, you know, how do I combine my work and, you know, following message and giving my commitment to the things of God. And that has been very excellently answered, you know. But you see, the Lord understands that we are in the days of our flesh. The Lord understands our limitations. He knows you are working. He knows you are a working wife that has 2 children or 3 children and has a husband to cater for. And the Lord even knows that there is a course in accounting you are still taking. I was speaking with one of our sisters just yesterday. She is a woman, she's a wife. She has 2 children. She's working in a very active environment and she's just doing a course. She's doing ACCA. And I was just asking her, how do you cope? And she was just telling me how God has helped her. You know, she in that environment, just an arrangement, God understands that arrangement, but God also gives wisdom to navigate those kind of arrangements. Because the Lord will you can't say, God, it is the baby you gave me. It's the husband you gave me. He's demanding too much of my time. That was what, you know, the blame game. It's the children you gave me. Lord, I prayed for a job. The job you gave me is demanding too much of my mind. I can't think of Bible. Else we will become like Adam. That says, the wife you gave me. The Lord knows that you will be tempted in spite of it with this arrangement. He knows, but he makes provision. Wisdom. First of all, when there are messages lined up and you are not sure which one to do, can you ask the Holy Spirit? We forget we can actually engage Holy Spirit in guiding us. Because the truth is that some messages are 2 hours, 2 hours, 30 minutes. Before you finish one, another one has just been preached again yesterday. Is that not your reality? Before you finish the third one, another one has been preached again. So I said, they are not going to stop for you. So you need the first thing, wisdom that the Lord gave me, and I'm also sharing, is Holy Spirit, which one should I listen to first? Where do I start from? Instead of asking yourself the question out of frustration, ask the Lord to guide you. And he will whisper to your ears, start with this one. Sometimes, leave this series. Sometimes, let me say something. Another thing again is that I said something before that. The intensity of the word now, some of us might not need to even hear them now. So I'm saying this with a lot of responsibility. And I'm not, this not to discourage you from saying, they said we should not listen. No. I'm even saying that you might not even get the understanding now. Maybe perhaps there is a need to establish your Christ walk. So if you follow the Spirit, the Lord can say, go and listen to that Pastor Tokbe's message he preached last week. They say, but no, there is SOS of 2 weeks ago that he preached. He said, no, listen to Pastor Tokbe of last week. And the pastor will now say something that will be a puzzle that fits into the base you have. Then when you are now listening to Revelation Hour on Saturday, it just connects. Even the previous ones that daddy has said, you did not understand, you did not get it clearly. That little pastor will just blend and cover up all the space. And then you just look at that, you are not really lacking anything. Like some of the explanation pastor gave today, there's something that I wasn't very sure. But when he was explaining the issue of the day, and light, and the children of light, I just connected something. Have I not heard this preaching before? I have heard it before. I have heard it severally in church here and outside here. So what am I saying? The Holy Ghost is the navigator. He will lead you into the things you should listen to part time. Can we come to that place where instead of feeling despair, I want to deal with that thing. Instead of feeling frustrated and pushes you to a place of frustration and you just say, whoa, me le parami. You know when you say that thing, yeah, like, I can't keep myself, Joe. You know, so you just excuses it. I beg. And you just want to you want to escape. It's escapist mentality. You want to jackpot. Stay here. Ask the Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm overwhelmed. Turn it to prayer. I need direction. I need help. The messages are many. I need to know which one to read, listen to right now. It will guide you. Another thing I want to say to us. Sorry, that's my own style of rounding up. I take every opportunity I have to listen to messages. That has been said and it bears repetition. We cannot overflog it. Sometimes you need to take a stock of how long you stay on status, how long you stay on YouTube shorts. I now discovered that YouTube short is a deadly weapon. Pastor, I won't lie to you. YouTube short is powerful. It can shoot you. You know, it's short. YouTube, let me say to you now, YouTube short is powerful. That thing is anointed. Am I lying? And this YouTube short is not more than 2 years ago, 3 years ago. It's powerful. Let me tell you how powerful it is. You are listening to Revelation Hour. You are following one meeting or you are following a meeting. And right on your screen, just under, and also one shot. Then maybe they are not doing tongues and interpretation. Let me watch this shot first. I'll come back. Maybe it's only 10 seconds. And you start scrolling. Know your enemy. Evaluate your enemy. So let me say this to you. Bible says all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful. But Paul said, I will not be brought under the power of any. So why he say all things are lawful at a level of revelation, understanding, he's saying there are things we interact with. At some level, they are lawful. They are acceptable. In itself, it is not a sin or it's not wrong in itself. But there's what is called fleeing every appearance of evil. So some things, if you can discern that this thing has an appearance of evil, you need to flee. Now, the thing about those technologies, it's designed primarily to make you stay on them. And they contend stiffly, intensely against the time you can give to a defined content. I'm telling you, the YouTube short is a design from hell. Status. Why is status moving fast? As you only, maybe somebody you know, you just tell them, then you 1, 2, 3, 4, you move to the next person. So the person you're not even planning to watch them. Before you know, you have what, like 15 people status. You need power to truncate that process and say, all those 15 minutes, 2 minutes, 7 minutes, 10 minutes of status, YouTube, if you accumulate it, it's 1 hour message. How dare you say there is no time? We are at war. We must come to that consciousness. We are at war. And the war is that we must fight a good fight of faith so that we can lay hold. The fight of faith is not when you are praying, you are fighting fight of faith. Oh. The resources heaven has put in us, we can deny these things. Do I watch YouTube shorts? I'm still fighting my battle. I watch you. Oh. Sometimes there are content that attracts you. You just before you know you're watching. But I am fighting. Say to your neighbor, fight. And it's so, it gets so painful when the meeting is going on. That is when. So, one of the ways I started fighting, let me tell you my own. No, I'm just being a bit more practical. You know, when you're watching YouTube and it's phone. It's phone. No, it's not TV. It's your phone. 90% of the time when it's on phone, not even on TV. There's a way you have to device means. There is a way if you are watching a content on YouTube, you can pull down and it will blind all the under. So I always recommend that if you want to follow any EGFM, sorry, I'm using EGFM regularly because, I mean, their content are weekly. Apart from Sunday service church, you know, weekly content, EGFM has several content every week. If you can listen or watch through Fountain Stream, is an indigenous app of EGFM. You know, you can watch. If you watch there, it does not give you, it does not expose you to all the adverts. So you can successfully finish a message without being distracted. Because these things are actually distractions. So when you are watching on YouTube, it gives you alternative contents that are not edifying. So what I do, just drag it down. Once you drag that, you just centralize the message you are following. You won't see any. In fact, you won't even remember there are other adverts or things to get your attention. It just gives you, it's just wisdom. It's just wisdom. If you discover that watching on YouTube is always distracting you from meetings, then stop using YouTube to follow meetings. Because sometimes you say, I want to go and follow a meeting there. And okay, when the prayer is going, hey, you can go through any JFM site and watch. Go to the website, or you can go to this thing. Of course, same with church service. If you want to watch CP, church service meeting and all that. Even when, you know, sometimes when we finish here, we want to also follow CP, like Charity Pavilion in our head church message. If you go on YouTube, you will still fight that same warfare. Now, what is all this all about? You want to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Give me that scripture. I think I'll round up from there. Like I said, the panelists did fantastically well. I explained, and Pastor came and threw so much light. What is it? Is Ephesians is 5, Abby? Is it verse 9, I think? Ephesians 5, 16. Thank you, sir. Go back to, no? Okay, we can start. Go to 14. Okay, wherefore he said, awake thou that sleepeth and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly. So go back to 14 again. So this is a call to, he said, arise. He said, wherefore he said, awake you that is asleep. So what is a sleep? We know it's not a physical sleep. Maybe you are dozing and they wake you up. That's not what he's saying there. There is a consciousness. You know, when you are asleep, you lose some kind of consciousness. So spiritually, a man that is sleeping is a man that lacks some kind of reality. Consciousness of some realities. Do you understand? So if this is saying, awake from your sleep, it's saying to you, there are certain consciousness you are not aware of. Can you come into this consciousness? And he said, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. This is a call to take certain kind of actions. You can't walk circumspectly if you have not taken a step to arise. There must be a jealousy within us, a holy anger that wants to take certain steps to my spiritual health. Sometimes when we are going through certain health challenges, and then you get counsel from your doctors, and and they tell you that if you don't follow this particular regime of feeding, you are endangering your life. You know, there's a way you become very angry. They now give you the kind of food the doctor warned you. There's a way you can be angry with the person. You don't know, how can you put Maggie in my food or put too much salt? You want to kill me? So we can actually come to a place where we out of that holy anger, we arise. With that arising, it's like a consciousness. We must come to a consciousness that I need to do some things differently. And Christ shall give you light. So see then that you walk circumspectly. Now, you can't walk circumspectly, like I said, if you don't have light. So what teachings, meetings, messages will do, it will begin to give you light. They are flooding you with light. Flooding you with light. Resources that gives light. Then when you have that, today's meeting is awesome. Many of you, you have received some things now, even understanding you did not have, it has come to you as light. It's not just head knowledge, it's light. So now you have gotten the light. What will you do with the light? That's always the question. Walk circumspectly. Walk circumspectly with the light. So that to be circumspect, it's an applicable, a word that implies application of wisdom that is bettered by understanding. So you walk circumspectly how you take decisions. I just showed you a few things that I do. If I know that if I go to YouTube, I'll be distracted. I look for other means. I pull it down. I just do something. That is walking circumspectly. I know that this thing would, I know there is wahala here. I know I will spend 30 minutes in something else that is not the real thing. Let me help myself for now. Not as fools, but as wise I am. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. So this is all we are just talking about. The days are evil. If you never believed it before, please believe it today. The days are evil. The evil of the day is not that Boko Haram is killing people. That has been, it will ever be, it will still be. Yes. It's not that they kidnap somebody you know. They say, hey! And they say they kill the person, they pay the ransom, they still kill the person. Hey, the days are evil. That's not the evil deal. Before we were born, they have been kidnapping, they've been killing. And that will not stop. The evil days are offerings. Are offerings. Offerings of the things that are trending. Things that men love. Alternative to God's life that are subtle. Things that will make you get tired with God. Things that will make you feel that the messages are too long. Not thinking that I need this length of message to save me and to purify me, cleanse me of all the things that I have. The days are evil, but we must redeem time. So when you walk circumspectly, what it will do, you will begin to redeem time. So instead of sitting there and saying that, I'm not understanding. I don't know what is wrong. Am I the only one? This thing is too high for me. Hey, redeem the time. Start somewhere. One of the wisdom that you can also help some of us, and if not all of us, is at certain time intervals, when you are feeling stuck, talk to somebody. Talk to a brethren. Look at, you see a brethren that is fervent, is still pushing, and you are already dragging. Go and confess your sin to the person. What is the sin? I'm not saying whether you, I mean sin or, I am way down. I don't know, I'm getting discouraged. There was a time something happened to me, about last year or 2 years ago, and it has to do with my activity in the ministry, my responsibilities, and some things were happening that I could not reconcile them. It was making me look as if I felt that I lacked approval and my work was not pleasing to the Lord. And then I was now seeing the manifestation through certain kind of contention and frustrating feeling, making me feel that you are useless. What you are doing is not useful. I can tell you that's we all have our realities. It got to a point, I almost said, you know, the thought that came to me, maybe I should resign from being the administrator of EGFM. Let me just resign. I'll just go and be sitting at the back. There are younger people that will do it better than me. Pastor, I'm not lying to you. There are thousands. They will do it better than me. I was already taking that thought. Maybe I should just, no. But let me tell you, if I took that thought, I am not just resigning from the administrator. I am resigning from, it's not because not everybody will be administrator of EGFM for God to now give you reward. It's an assignment like any other assignment everybody has. But the point is Satan starts from there. It's not just to resign from the assignment. He's going after my faith. He wants to take away what God has given. That which he said, let no man take thy crown. Satan will take what God has given you. So, but when I got to the place, I was already feeling overwhelmed and despair. The first thing I did, but in my heart, I didn't see clearly that Satan was a buffeting of Satan. But somewhere in my heart, because of training, I just knew that I need to talk to somebody. I wasn't, because isolation is a very powerful strategy of Satan. He will tell you, if you are alone in this thing, it's only you. Solve it by yourself. But I just say, I have to talk to somebody. I have to talk to somebody. But thank God, God will always organize somebody around you who will be a confidant. Somebody who has spiritual judgment, who you can always call and you share thoughts together. Please identify one person at least. If you can have more than 1, 2, 3, 4, I beg you, if you're in this company, find somebody in this company. I don't mean your colleague in the office who is also a Christian like you, but does not understand what you know or not hearing what you're hearing amongst us. Maybe not even this local church, maybe in the bigger ministry. You can get somebody who you can trust. This person is truly journeying. You can see the fruit of their work. Please submit to them. Tell the person, oh boy, if nobody help me, I want to come up for here. I want to run. I'm under fire. I have to call this pastor. I call him regularly. It's my life. Pastor Talaide will tell you, he calls a popular name that he only talk to. Who is Pastor Talaide? Pastor Talaide is confident. Let me tell you, my own confidant is Pastor Tayo Faso. Should you be ashamed to say it, Pastor? So anytime I get stuck, who do I run to? Pastor Tayo Faso is my confidant. Though he also does that to me too. So, Pastor, I am on shaky ground. I am in trouble. I am overwhelmed. Then we spoke. And God gave him wisdom and utterance. But let me shock you. Some of the things that he may even said, I know them before. But in the days of adversity, so find a confidant, talk to somebody, I beg you. Once a thought just enter perch on your head like lice, like fly, say, maybe you should leave this church. Hey, Satan is near your at thy door. If he comes to you, ping, once you hear ping, you know, he comes to you, you're the one thinking, maybe I should even leave this church. Satan is already want to open your door. In fact, the key is in his hand. He don't put, he won't enter. Scream, seek for help. Ole, ole, ole. Somebody said it. I'm just echoing it on the podium. Satan is a liar. I have caught you. Like, I will not give you room. Give him no room. Call somebody. Seek an appointment. See, bros, I mean, when you go get chance, make we talk. I am under, Satan is attacking my mind. Be saying that. Satan is attacking my mind. He wants me to shift ground. Please, I need you to talk to me. Let the person minister to you. Talk to you, talk to you. Minister, pray with you. You will be strengthened. That was how I was delivered though. He now gave me some wisdom of how to deal with the situation. He now told me something I did not know. He also just escaped that season some years ago. Paul wrote, he said, it was something about that your brethren all over the world are also going through same. Give me that scripture. 2 o'clock. Okay, I promise after I don't say this. I think, this is how I've said, are they blessing you?
Yes,
you getting some things? Somebody, if we can help the scripture, I can't remember it. If anybody knows it, just say it so that our projector people can quickly. I was saying that for your brethren all over the world, he was talking about our temptation. You know, for your brethren all over the world are also going through similar temptation. 1 Peter 5. Pastor, what's verse? Who knows it? Quickly now. Let's. Verse 9. Oh, yeah, now. Let's do it together. Thank you. Okay. Go from 8. Good. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, oh, Jesus Christ. I wasn't thinking about this scripture. It was that time, it just getting out. This is making sense now. He said, because your, he did not say the adversary of God. Who did he say? Your adversary. Satan actually personalizes adversity. It's personal. Why does it come like you thinking? The things that make people eventually withdraw, they think is their thought, is the adversary. Is your adversary. He speaks like you. He mimics your voice, your thought. He tells you that, Pastor did not greet me well today. I even knelt down. He just tapped my head and walked away. Pastor is angry with me. You think, is Pastor angry with me? I think he's angry with me. Ha, this pastor self. He's moving. He knows this doesn't stop. He will not be shifting. Then maybe Pastor Rose also will just walk up past you. Say, hey, Pastor and Pastor Rose, they discuss me in the house. They discuss my matter. You would think you had one thinking, he's escalating the thoughts. Before you know the next, you say, maybe I should leave this church. It's not, maybe he is telling you. You think you are the one thinking. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. He's always looking for anybody that will open door to devour them. Yeah? 9. Whom resist what? Steadfastly in the faith. You must resist Satan. One of the ways to resist him. Sometimes say, I resist you. The thought is still coming. Go and report yourself to pastor. Pastor, I'm about to die. I want to die here. My life is at stake. Talk to a brethren. Talk to a pastor. Talk to a elder spiritual leader. Somebody you can trust. So they can speak to your heart. It's part of the warfare. Knowing the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So you are not alone. Say to your neighbor, you are not alone. You are not, honestly speaking, the warfare is general. Don't be looking at this person every time. Pastor is teaching. He says, this guy, like Benga, this Benga. Hey! Bangs! Lord Bangs, when pastor is preaching, I said, this guy is AOT law. Hey, this guy has gone. Where am I? Hey, I'm still on earth. Some people are already touching realms. Realms and portals. Hey, I see they here. And maybe in the last 15 seconds, 20 seconds, Pastor, you didn't know anything Pastor said. And you just look at Benga's face. Hey! He's a lie. He has his own affliction too. Benga, show me plenty. Warfare. So, sorry, that's on the lighter note. I'm just saying that everybody is going, maybe the affliction levels might be different, Because your affliction and pressure that they bring is based on the level of light you have gathered. Your maturity, your stature. You know, the kind of affliction they bring against our daddy, Pastor Michael Guchuku, is not the same they bring against Pastor Laide. It's not near at all. And even my own is not near Pastor Laide's own. Pastor Laide is very high. You know, it's level by level. You can't have plenty of flock like this. It will give you chin-chin affliction. But whatever the level of the affliction, it is to an intent to make you withdraw and say, I am tired. I can't continue this journey. But just rest assured, one information, you are not alone. You are not alone. When I spoke with Pastor Tayo, I never knew he went through that same season about three, four years earlier. The same thing from the same source. You know, when I just assumed that. But when I was not telling me, when he was not counseling me, he was talking to me from the same experience. How God has comforted him through that experience. He spoke out of that comfort. And when he spoke to me, grace rested on me. And I knew what to do. If I had stayed in that my pity party, I'm alone, nobody care about me, how can I, oh my God, Satan would just be having a field day. And he's about to take me out. Speak to, please, if there's nothing you gain from this roundup, please speak to somebody. Don't be proud. Don't say if I now talk, they will now say I'm not growing. You are growing. In fact, the fact that you are going to talk means it's a sign that you have grown. The fact that you can expose that Satan, open him up, let light shine into that thing, and let them dissolve that seed. You see, that thing is a seed, it will become a tree. So please do everything. Say you need to be circumspect, walk circumspectly. Take advantage of times. I said many examples. If you don't say our message are too many, pray Holy Ghost. Which ones, honestly speaking, it works. If you doubt what I'm saying, try it this week. Perhaps you have like 6, 7 messages you've not listened to. Pray sincerely, Lord, I want to be guided. I need to listen to one so that I can build up with the others. Which one should I listen to? You will see, will just drop something in your heart. Follow it. You will see there was light in the tunnel. It will trail you. Your understanding will come. Just let that activity, I'm not saying you, as an experiment, you don't experiment with the things of the Lord, but I'm just saying that let your spirit guide you. Sometimes to follow the meetings, I'm not saying that Holy Spirit, should I listen to SOS today? Or maybe it's Saturday now, Revelation Hour is, or maybe there is Citra. I say, should I follow Citra or not? That's not what I'm saying, you know. By default, you follow those meetings. But in case the ones you missed, you couldn't listen. Maybe you were overwhelmed with work, or you were at work, you could not listen. Something came up and then you now have some piled up. There are like piled up messages. And you're like, which one should I start? Then you need to be led. Sometimes it's not the immediate last one that you should listen. Sometimes it may not even be the very first one you missed. Because if you are going to say, okay, let me start from the beginning. I used to do that before. I discovered I never ever finishes it. Start from the very first one. Maybe it's like 6 messages. Each one is 3 hours or 2 hours, 30 minutes. You've accumulated how many days? Before you even reach the second one, they have preached like 7 again in front. So the idea is not for you to become, they now drown you. And you know, that's not the idea. The Lord will keep speaking. You know? I know I said that before. It won't stop. But Holy Ghost can guide you the ones you should listen to first. You may not even need to listen to all. You may say, listen to this, this, and this. That's all you need to take. Because from the meetings, some things that was said previously is being repeated. So you might not need to. You will not know until you will not take time. But the Lord can guide you. Listen to this one. Then skip this. Listen to this one. After that, you are good to go. You can now follow, catch up. Do you understand? It's a wisdom of being circumspect. Are we together? Then I also said, if you are saying, I don't have time, please do a self-evaluation. How much time do you spend on shorts? And no, I'm just reiterating the things I've said. How much time do you spend? You can ask, okay, the times I spend, can I really avoid not watching this thing? Sometimes we are still tempted. There was a time, Pastor, I deleted Netflix from my phone 2 times. I would delete it. I would fast Netflix for like 4, 6 months. There may be a particular movie that, it's not anywhere. Only I said, okay, let me just download it to watch it. Hey, I got stuck again. I deleted it again. And that's because it's not about deleting Netflix. There's Netflix here somewhere. You can delete it from your phone. You go and watch on your friend's phone. But finally, I've deleted Netflix since for at least like 4 months now. I've not been watching Netflix. But that's why YouTube is giving alternative. Hello, we are in this warfare together. Oh. But please, can you fight your own warfare? Can you say there is a way out of this thing? As you pray, let wisdom come to us and we turn out victoriously in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
We trust that this message has been a source of blessing to you. For a wealth of similar messages, please visit our website at www.ikorodu.nlwc.church or feel free to contact us at 0703-576-0085. You can also reach out to us via WhatsApp at the same number. May God's blessings continue to abound in your life.